United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go. 800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on the WSOM AM 600. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the... Today's the 20th? Or the 21st? No.
There's no
21st. No. Let's find out. What's the day today?
Today's the 20th.
Today's the 20th. Today's the 20th of May. 2000. Yeah.
There I go.
That's tough, ain't it?
It's
10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and you're listening to us on WSOM AM 600. That's Prince doing a little Red Corvette and Controversy. We'll probably get to the rest of that. And this is a live concert back in 1988. He was overseas when he did this. And, you know, you got to just know who Prince is. If you don't know who Prince is, you know, you'll figure it out. Jeff and I are here in studio. I've got a woman that's going to call in, and we're going to talk to her at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to be talking about women who have been abducted for sex slaves because you have, I think it's 200-plus women, schoolgirls, and I'm not going to say women. They're schoolgirls who were abducted over in Nigeria, and we haven't covered it here. You've heard a little bit about it across the country, but not to the extent that I think it should have been covered. And we're going to do a little bit of it here today and probably a little bit tomorrow also. I've been trying to work this through so we can get it in and get some people on here that can actually talk to us about abduction from a realistic view so that you understand that there's a huge sex trade here in Ohio as well as across the United States of America. There are a lot of women being bought and sold into sex slavery. And you may not believe it because you don't see it, but it is there. And just because it's not in your front yard does not mean it's not going on. How you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
How you going to bring breakfast in and not bring me breakfast, too?
You're on a diet.
I'm not on a diet.
Yes, you are.
No,
look at what you're eating.
I'm not on a diet. I'm on a healthy eating path.
Well, that's a diet.
That's not a diet.
Yeah, it is. You have to change your diet.
I'm on a healthy eating path. I'm eating raisins and granola. Taking sugar out of my diet.
You changed your diet.
But you could have brought me a hash brown.
No, you can't have a hash
brown. Why can't I have a hash brown?
Too much oil.
No, yes, I can't. No. I got to have oil. Oil is good. That is good. Who told you we can't have oil? We can have
oil. Oil is not good. The only oil that's good is extra processed coconut oil.
Oil is good.
Good to cook with.
No.
Very good.
Listen to what I'm saying. I don't think coconut oil going to do a good job with a fried hash brown.
You don't need a fried hash brown.
You eating the fried hash brown?
You don't need.
Ain't that a fried hash brown you already?
I do.
No. That's a fried hash brown.
Mm-hmm.
And you're eating that stuff that comes, it's toxic. You shouldn't eat that stuff. Anyhow, Jeff, that's crazy. That stuff kill you.
It won't kill me.
I'm eating flaxseed flakes. I'm eating healthy. And you could have brought me a hash brown. Potatoes are good for your heart. Potatoes have starch in them. Potatoes are good for you. Isn't that right, Alabama? Just say yes. Yeah, like he ain't listening. You know he listening. So how was your evening, Jeffrey?
My what?
Evening.
I ain't even hear you. What you said?
Oh.
I cut down hedges.
Oh, I'm up here riding to work, man. I got my mind on 50 things at once.
Mind on your money and your money on your mind.
That's why you got this.
Yeah, I got some things I'm trying to do.
What you trying to do? You need some help?
Well, met with the guy from, well, I didn't meet with him. Actually, they had a little prayer thing yesterday. I went to the guy from the bank, the lender, the commercial lending guy. And there was apartment building I wanted, man. Somebody beat me to the punch. I was so upset. I rolled by there, saw the dumpsters out there. I was so mad. That happened all the time. You win some, you lose some. So I get another deal.
So the deals that don't open, you just have to understand it just wasn't for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it happened all the time. You can't get upset. I mean, it happens. I mean, I've seen stuff back in 06. You know, there was this property went on the market. I'm talking about in 3 hours, I went and scrambled. They had three offers before I can get to mine. And I'm talking about the minute it went on MLS, and I was at my boy's house, and we was talking, and I just certainly hit this real hot area. The guy wanted like $120,000 for it. I mean, the house was probably worth, if you rehab it, I mean, it needed work, man, that house probably could have been worth about $350,000, $400,000. Man, he got so many offers so quick. I was like, dang, I wanted it too. But, I mean, it happened. You know, there's a apartment building to sell through. Say what?
It wasn't meant. It just wasn't meant.
I used to read it said the deal of the century happens once every couple of weeks. So, it'll be another one next week. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it was a 12-unit apartment building for $150,000. I mean, you can't beat that.
Well,
you got to rehab it, but I mean, you won't be off about $1,100 at the most. I mean, you get $500 a unit. It's a real good deal.
You know what you ought to do? Do you want a good investment?
What I need to do?
You need to come to Youngstown and invest here.
Invest in Youngstown? What if something happens? I see that what happens to them California investors.
We got property here that you can get for $150.
They were looking at the comparable.
Different.
Okay. They were looking at the comparable.
What's on the news?
From California.
What's on the news?
Property in Youngstown for $150.
I mean.
All right, look. If it's $150, I might buy it. But surely it'll appraise for more than that later on.
No. Later on.
Later on, like right now, press, but yeah, and you know, through 3-4 years, it'd probably be worth more than that. I mean,
you're talking about out on the east side acreage?
No, just period. All through the city, all through the city.
Oh, I don't know nothing about that because
south side.
I'm looking.
You talking about
a
tax property?
We talking about tax properties, vacant properties, properties.
I'm
gonna
tell you something crazy. In Alabama, you can get the deed on a property after 3 years, tax deed, which if the mortgage company doesn't come and catch up their, and I've seen this happen, mortgage company won't catch up their note, their taxes, and then it'll get foreclosed on by the state at a state tax sale. 3 years later, you know, if they don't come catch it up, you ask, you know, because they're supposed to give you in Alabama like 12%. You come and get a deed on it. And then it's a little bit more difficult. It's going to be super difficult because the state recognizes the taxpayer first because, you know, they got to put their interest before anybody, even the mortgage holder. So,
well,
it's a trip,
I'm just
man.
Saying, you're going on your own. I'm just saying, right now you can buy property here for $150. Now, they may shoot up your house next week, but don't worry about it. If you live through it, you'll survive and you'll be all right.
I don't care where you can get it. If you can get land anywhere for $150 or under $1,000, get it. I don't care what nobody say.
Well, it depends
if it's
on
Detroit,
what it is.
I heard they got parts of Detroit where it's just dirt cheap right now. But
the problem
I mean,
is paying taxes in Detroit will kill you.
Well, there you go.
Taxes, why would the taxes kill you on a $1,000 property? I mean, what they going to charge?
Oh,
$60?
Oh.
Because the taxes are more than $1,000?
Because they've been run by Democrats for the past 100 years.
Wait,
831. 831, your mic is on.
The tax assessor has to lower the value of the property. He has to. The tax assessor can't have $1,000 taxes if you
yes,
if
they
the
can.
It all
well,
depends.
Get that lower. That's crazy.
Yes, but you can.
You
can be assessed more than the value of the property, absolutely.
Well,
that's what's wrong with Detroit.
You can be assessed more than what they will sell you the property for.
That's true.
Because you can pay the taxes on certain properties and then acquire it that way. And then you bought this piece of property, but because it landed within, say, it was industrial rating on that property, you now have in industrial size tax on that property, and you're saying, what the heck?
831,
no,
your mic
I
is
agree
on.
With you.
Hold on,
what
Alabama.
Is you
hold
can
on.
Get it reassessed.
Alabama, hold on. 831, your mic is on.
Hello, good morning. Hey,
good morning,
Tracy, Bonnie. I actually can stay with you guys for the whole show today, and I wanted
all
to call
right.
in. I wanted to call in early and tell you that I'm actually in a chair hanging on here, listen to the conversation. So what are you guys talking
what
about
have
today
you
other than real estate?
We're not even
well,
talking about real estate. Alabama always comes up with his own topics in the morning. It's the Tracy and Alabama show.
I was wondering if you guys heard that Castro is now in charge of HUD. Julian Castro.
Right.
Is that what you guys were talking
that.
About? Oh,
no.
You were talking about that already?
No, we have
no. That's the mayor of San Antonio.
Right.
He was disappointed.
Well,
the same self mayor that said that businesses in San Antonio could not get a contract with the city unless they hired a homosexual to work with them.
What?
Work for them. Oh yeah.
It's called diversity.
Yeah, right. My friend, I have a pastor friend down there that was telling me about this situation down there and that they were going down and they were fasting and praying, you know, to deal with this situation because it was crazy. They're going to force you to accept this. And why homosexuality in particular?
Yeah, don't go. We're not going there. We got a lady coming on talking about. Which, let me tell you why. It's a spirit. You know that. You know it's demonic, and that's at the root. And don't go there because we only got 10 minutes before we start talking about missing women. Good morning, South. Good morning, Six.
Hey, Alabama. At least in the state of Ohio, Alabama is absolutely correct. The county assessor has to revalue the property at whatever the last sale price was. You can file for that.
Right.
If you buy it for $150 and you file for it, the county assessor has to tax you based on a valuation of $150.
Right, but what if the tax base, I mean, you've got people in Detroit paying, you know, crazy sums of taxes on property that they could never
right.
sell. at that
right.
value.
But the thing is, it's based on last. It's based on the last sale price. So once that property is foreclosed on and resold under Ohio law, like I've got $80,000 houses that are valued at $15,000
for
taxes.
Right.
And I pay taxes based on a property value of $15,000. Now, when I sell them for $80,000, the next homeowner is going to get hit for an $80,000 tax bill.
But I'm talking about we've got people
based on $80,000.
Well, we've got people in Detroit, and I know this to be true. We got people in Detroit. Their house, they couldn't sell their house for $12,000 if they wanted to. They own their house,
mm-hmm.
but their taxes are something like $7,000 a year.
Well, they can. I mean, I don't know what Michigan state law is.
Michigan state law is different. Because
you
remember,
you
got specials. Hold on, out six.
Yeah.
You remember, in some places you got specials.
Well, no.
That come on.
The
there.
Law in Ohio is you can demand a revaluation, and you can challenge that revaluation based on comparables being sold in your area, because it's happened. If you look all over, a lot of the counties in Ohio are screaming because their tax base went down.
But you understand that's also, but in other states have different laws.
Right.
I know in Ohio you can demand something, and Ohio is a home friendly place. But not all places are that home friendly.
Right.
And they're not that home owner friendly.
Right. But that's the way it works in Ohio. I have no idea how Michigan works.
I know but I know they pay crazy taxes. I'm just amazed by that.
Well, we got some people paying crazy taxes in Mahoning County too.
We do?
Yeah, I got a friend's got a house, and I got a friend that's got a house in Canfield. He pays $8,000 a half on.
But he got a $500,000 house in Canfield.
Still, it ain't worth $8,000 a half.
Why not? If you got a $500,000 house.
I got a question. Isn't it just, maybe I'm wrong, but how can you tax someone directly from their own property? Isn't that unconstitutional? I mean, that's just property taxes, by definition, just the name alone says that. I mean, wait, you can't tax someone for their own personal property. Like,
yeah, right.
You're not supposed to.
That's probably the only tax we've always had since the settlers of this country was real estate tax. There's always been real estate tax in North America since Europeans came here. The income tax is the new tax. The real estate tax has been with us forever.
The problem is
they started taxing around the Civil War. We're left alone up until the Civil War, and then we started getting into that.
No, you've always had real estate taxes, because remember, you couldn't. The reason that only landowners were allowed to vote originally was because they said landowners were the only people that paid taxes. That was the rationale behind it.
Well, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to be talking with a woman, and her name is Manda Zond. She's going to be with us, and we're going to start talking about missing women and what happens when you're abducted, and how this is a big problem across the globe. And a lot of trade goes through a lot of places, and a lot of trade goes through Ohio. You hear the Attorney General talking about it, the Governor of Ohio talking about it a lot, mm-hmm. and that they're stepping down on it because it has to stop, and people come straight through 80. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
About your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm here with Washington, Franklin, and Lincoln to illustrate how Quicken Loans can help you save your money.
George, careful. That axe has a very sharp edge.
And an edge is what you'll have with a program like Mortgage First.
Abe, watch those doorways. You're mighty tall.
Another tall order, MyQL, lets you track your loan through every step.
Ben, keep that kite out of the wires.
Here's a shocker. Our 10,000 team members will make your mortgage experience simple. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number
3030. WSOM.
I saw a guy texting yesterday, but I think he had his kids with him. Is that possible? I felt like following him. And he was not going slow. He was approaching a roundabout. I don't know what you have to set up for yourself, what sort of thing to convince yourself, but texting while you're driving is not suicidal, it's homicidal.
Catch Dennis Miller, noon to 3, weekdays, right here on News Talk AM 600.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. More than 30,000 people attended the Thunder Over the Valley air show in Youngstown over the weekend, but some complained the shuttle system in place for the show was anything but convenient. Some people complained after the show wrapped up, they waited up to 3 hours for a way back to their cars. Brookfield School District is being saved once again by the state. For the second year in a row now, Brookfield has asked the state for financial assistance. The controlling board has agreed to loan the district $514,000 to cover its debt, and the money will be paid back over time. And Catholic educators are expressing concern over the future of Catholic schools in the Valley. St. Joseph and the Immaculate Heart of Mary School will be the 18th elementary school to close in the Youngstown Diocese in the last decade. Enrollment has dropped 48% over that time frame. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. The Marcellus and Utica Shale is a game changer for this area, and there are growing opportunities every day for people who are willing to work. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Natural gas is changing the job market, and we are truly knocking the rust off this rust belt. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future. Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
It's the golf sale that only comes once a year, and it's the best time to save. It's the Golfsmith Anniversary Sale. Hurry in now for deals like two dozen Callaway HX Bike golf balls for only $35. Adidas Adi Zero shoes, free with the purchase of 2014 Adams Idea iron sets. Free gift cards of up to $75 with purchase. And get 40% off all Snake Eyes and Maggie Lane apparel. It only comes once a year. It's the Golfsmith Anniversary Sale, so hurry in today.
Negative online stories about you or your business might take seconds to create, but years to remove. How many customers and sales dollars you will never see due to lies, rumors, and that one disgruntled customer who posted a bad review on the internet? If you want to personally or professionally take control of your online reputation, grab a pen and take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-432-9197. When you call, you will get free information on how you can legally fight and potentially bury negative internet postings. With the Reputation Management Program, you can now positively promote your business online. Join the thousands of entrepreneurs and professionals who have already taken control of their Google search results. You're losing money every day when customers pass you by after they read negative info online. Call today to get a free reputation review and start building positive online content. Call 1-800-432-9197 for free info. That's 1-800-432-9197. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. Take control of your online Google search results today by simply calling 1-800-432-9197.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I have a woman by the name of Manda. And they have a website, and it talks about the horrordiaries.com, and you want to check that out. Hi, Manda. How are you?
Fine.
Good
thank
morning.
You, Tracy.
Good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. Tell us a little bit about your story, please, because a lot of people may have never heard of you, and we were talking about the Nigerian women. And now abduction
yes.
is really, really big on the forefront. So tell us a little bit about you and your story.
Well, in 1979, my country was taken over by Islamists, Khomeini. And my whole civilization was turned upside down, 180 degrees, to Islamism and Sharia law. And because I was an American-educated young woman at a high-ranking government position, after they executed many of the people who worked for the government, and including a lady who was my high school principal, actually, but at that time she was Secretary of Education, member of the cabinet. And so with the urging of my father, who was afraid for my life, I had to flee the country, my homeland, Iran. And so I spent a whole year as a political refugee in Europe until I finally got a visa to come to United States and live in freedom. And since then, I have been fighting for human rights of women and children and also men in Iran, and I have been fighting against Islamism, gender apartheid regimes all over the world as a result of the laws of Sharia laws that are being pushed, even here in America, where it should be banned totally.
Talk to us a little bit about Sharia law and when it comes to women. Because I don't
yes.
think people do not understand the difference
yes.
between being Islamic and Sharia law.
Right, right. Sharia law, these days, there are many lobbyist organizations in Washington, D.C., who are pushing Sharia law and are pushing, and they're using the culture of freedom and democracy in America to push their agenda on America, which means we have these political correctness, we've got this multiculturalism that they never really accomplish anything, but they are using all of that to push Sharia law on American laws in this country. Now, what they are telling everybody is that Sharia law is a holy law and it's Islamic law, and that how many numbers of Muslims that are in America today have to abide or want to abide by the Sharia law. Well, that's a myth. Sharia law is not a holy law. It's not a must. It's not even a choice. Because let me give your listeners a little short history. In 7th century, the Najd Arabs, means the Arabs in the peninsula that we call Saudi Arabia today, those Arabs rose up with the new religion, Islam, and they conquered many of the best civilizations that existed in those times, including my own, the Persian civilization, that was based on human rights, equal rights, and anti-slavery, and so on and so forth. But these people rose, they took over my homeland, they took over the great Syrian civilization, the great Egyptian civilization, Carthaginian civilization, North Africa, and with bloodshed, murder, and mayhem, they created this huge Islamic Arab civilization. And not only they pushed Islam on this whole Middle East and North Asia, North Africa, they also Arabized. That means they pushed their language, their culture, and they turned all of that area into an Arab region. Of course, my country fought back, and we didn't go for all of what the rest of the region went for. But anyway, to rule this empire, this huge empire that they had conquered by fear, intimidation, and bloodshed, massacres, slavery all over the place, they had to have a system to govern. And what was the system? They created a Sharia law. They say, based on Quran, the Islamic holy book, but maybe some, but majority of it, 99% of it, is all man-made to rule their empire that they had created. Now, today, 21st century, after like 15 centuries passed, they are claiming that this Sharia law is a holy law, which is an absolute farce. And therefore, they are using that word holy law because they want to intimidate the American society, the people, men in power, women in power, according to the multiculturalism, this is my religion and you have to abide by my religion also. Right. And it's not also, it's they want to push the religion. One issue is that Islamism wants to take over the whole world. Khomeini in 1979, when he took over my homeland, he said that Iran is his platform to spread Islam all over the world and make the Western world all Islamized. So this is where we're standing today, that about 1 billion population of our world today, women and children, live under gender apartheid of this rule that they have created, and which is only a handful of power-hungry people who just want to push their politics, their ideology on the rest of the world.
Wow. You don't hear a whole lot about this. And, you know, when we go over to the Middle East, I don't think we understand what we're fighting for and what's happening on the forefront.
Exactly.
Because I know that you have a documentary called The Horror Diaries.
Yes.
And if you go to horrordiaries.com?
It's honordiary.com, yes.
Honordiaries.com.
Yes.
You will be, I'm going to play the clip in a moment. You'll be able to see a lot about what's happening with a lot of women. And when you call it women, you call it women apartheid.
Gender apartheid.
Gender apartheid.
Yes.
We all
understand now that this is 21st century and the human race has progressed immensely. And religions have changed by leaps and bounds from the previous centuries. The main issue here is that not too long ago, the whole world got together to get rid of one of the most shameful practices, remnants of the old rules, that was racial apartheid in South Africa. We all remember that the whole international community got together. They sanctioned South African white government until to the point that they had to submit to removing of racial apartheid in their country, which was successful, peaceful, no problem. And the human race took one step further into developing into a better civilization. Well, then the whole international community again got together to get rid of communist dictatorship that had taken over half of Europe, Eastern Europe, had taken the whole Central Asian governments, countries, and dictatorship of unbelievable crimes and poverty and everything. So they succeeded of freeing Eastern European countries, freeing the central government, Central Asian countries, and give sovereignty and democracy to these countries. This is what the international community did. But today, in 21st century, we are in a situation that there is, as I said, 1 billion women and children live under an unbelievably cruel gender apartheid. That means these women and children are not human beings, they are slaves. According to the Sharia law, women and children are properties of men. That means they are not human beings. They are a piece of furniture. And if the man kills them, it's his right and he's not going to be questioned about it. That's what Sharia law is, and that's what gender apartheid that is ruling 1 billion women and children in our world is doing today. And unfortunately, the Western powers are standing and watching, and they are appeasing the men who are doing these gender apartheid ruling against women. And they don't, in the dealings that they make with the Iranian regime that we made, that they are very proud of, getting rid of their nuclear bomb, which I promise you they're not going to get rid of it. They're hiding it behind some mountain or under some hill. So somewhere. They're doing, continuing what they want to do because they have to put the Sharia law, force the Sharia law on the rest of the world. So why are we doing this, empowering the people who are holding 1 billion women and children under slavery and as objects, not as human beings? That I do not understand, why international community is so indifferent about what is going on. This is 21st century. The world is so small. We can be on the other end of the world in 2 hours, in 3 hours on, you know, fast jets. But unfortunately, this is what's going on.
I have a question. Good morning. How are you doing? I'd like to know, in Islam, is the woman considered to have a soul or not?
To have a full or not?
A soul, S-O-U-L.
Well,
that's a deep question, Jeff.
Yeah, because you were saying that they sort of look on you as furniture, and I was told that that the woman is always lesser than the man, no matter what, even after this life is over. So when you leave here, you go to heaven. Do the souls of women go to heaven, or are they considered to even have a soul?
To tell you the truth, I have never studied theology. I do not know what they consider in that world, what they consider women. I presume not, because in this world, they don't consider them human. And there is one other issue that probably this movie that we made, which is a documentary of nine Muslim women who have suffered from the consequences or the rules of the of Sharia law in different ways and means. In Sharia law, they put the crimes of men on women. That's why they do honor killing. That's why they say the honor of men are on women's shoulder. That means if women do anything that, like for example, hijab, why do the women have to cover themselves? Because if they don't cover themselves, they're going to cause men to have sexual arouse men sexually, and so therefore that crime, that is a crime, that is not a man's crime to get aroused sexually against a woman. It's the woman's fault that causes the man to get sexually aroused. If a man commits a crime, it is the woman's fault that has made the man to commit the crime. And so therefore, the honor of men are all on women. So therefore, women are the ones who have to keep their honor and their own honors responsible. That's why, like we see here, even in America, is happening. The fathers killing their daughters who have looked at a boy. They are cutting we know what's going on in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and the whole Islamic world. These are as the result of they call it honor killing, because they want to keep their honor. because the woman has done something that had betrayed the man's honor. So it's the burden of all the crimes and the sins of men that is on women. Men are not sinful. Their sin always is on women. And women have to carry the sins of men. This I know. But in the other world, I have no idea what they say about the other world.
This documentary, where can it be found?
Well, all they have to do is go on honordiary.com and then click on view, and they can view the movie if they like to. It's been amazing. We have tried to screen this movie. We have won an award for documentary, and we have tried to bring awareness to young Americans. And so we have tried to screen it in universities so the young students could go watch the movie. But unfortunately, the powers to be, the lobbyists, and the men in power, academia, who always talk about women's choice, women's equal rights, women's this, women's that, for American women, they refuse to screen. They cancel. First accepted, then they cancel the screening of the movie because they do not want, they don't care about Muslim women in this country, American Muslim women, because they empower the men, Muslim men, to push their own Sharia law on American Muslim women, which to me, a huge discrimination in this country against a group of women who have fled from all that, come to freedom, democracy. Even here in the freedom and democracy, they have to be second class or an object in their family. And when they go to courts, when the husband says, well, I'm a Muslim, Sharia law is what I go by, the judge says, okay, you go, keep on beating your wife up, and that's what's going on. Yes.
If the Sharia law says that a man can beat his wife even if he fears that she would employ high-handedness, or in other words, be aggressive as a woman.
Let me ask you this. So women who are a part of, can they leave their husbands? I mean, because when they come to, when you come to America... So wait a minute.
No, you can't leave your husband.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't leave. Wait a minute. I'm a little slow. I'm really slow. I am.
Sorry.
You come.
And I'm in a hurry.
Okay.
Do I want to talk?
I'm coming to America. I'm here.
Uh-huh.
Can you stay a little bit longer than the half an hour that I have you booked for?
Sure.
Good. Because I've got to take a top of the hour break in about 6 minutes, and then I'm going to come back because I come to America and say you have a woman, have a daughter.
Uh-huh.
That daughter is automatically an American citizen.
Yes.
Absolutely. She is raised in a home where her father is a strict person who deals with Sharia law.
Right.
Can that daughter walk away and become independent on her own, walk away from her father and her family and say, I want my own life without repercussions?
No. No, she'll be killed.
So, only if the man is westernized.
No, wait a minute, hold on, don't go that fast, Jeff, because most of us don't understand it. So the woman just said she'll be killed. Hmm. Well, if she's killed, won't they go to jail for murder?
Well, it has been happening in America, and you know they killed the daughters, two of them. This guy killed two of his own teenagers because they had dated a Christian boy,
right?
And the father put them in a car, drove out, killed both of them, drove to the airport, took the plane out back into Pakistan. That's the end.
Wow.
I've seen that happen.
And we don't, and so the American American politics, because, you know, we're always talking about right now gender differences and how much a woman makes and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to this, no one is saying anything about this?
No. No, why would they? Nobody cares. I tell you, it, you know, when I watch, when I see on television that, you know, some American women are screaming, yelling for free birth control, you know, discrimination against women because the government doesn't give free birth control. I think, oh, my God, look how far apart some women in this country don't even have the right to step out of their homes.
Thank you.
And some women are right there in the middle of the Washington, D.C., screaming for free birth control by the government. Because I see those women. I know some of them. This is what I do. This is what I fight for those women. That's what I'm trying to do. And that's what all these women on that documentary, Honor Diary, are trying to do, to bring attention, to please, don't go that far out while we have this far backward, right here in this society, not even in the Middle East, not in Africa, not in southwestern, eastern Asia, not those, right here in America, right here in Canada.
The number is 347-945-5229 if you want to call in and ask some questions. Somebody inside of our chat room said, what do you propose that we as Americans and American women, what would you like to see us do? Because you're very right. What do you want us to see us do? And how would you help us, or how would we go about getting this done when no one's paying attention to the silent women?
Well, what we need to do is ask all my sisters to be active on our behalf. Talk to your members of the Congress, your representatives, local. Do you know that this organization called CARE, which means Council of American Islamic Relations, this is a Muslim Brotherhood funded and supported entity lobbying organization in Washington, D.C., who all the doors of the members of the Congress in Senate and House are open to them, and they have hired American lawyers and everything because they are sitting on petrodollars and that we have paid them, and here, and they are influencing, they are all over the State Department, they are in the White House, they are pushing Sharia law, and they are also building all these mosques, and they are picking the fanatic Islamist poor clergies, or what they call imams, to put in those mosques so they can brainwash the young Muslim children of this country against this country and create more backward men for this society. And let me tell you one thing. When we make one child, they make 10.
Hey, I'll be
and
right back.
So
you're
what
happened? Here on WSLM, we'll see you in a moment.
China today after the U.S. Justice Department filed charges against 5 Chinese military officers. They're accused of cyber espionage, stealing the secrets of American companies for economic gain. ABC's Gloria Riviera in Beijing says the U.S. ambassador met today with a Chinese foreign ministry official.
Ambassador Baucus was summoned to the meeting by the Chinese side. State-run news agency Xinhua reporting, China's assistant foreign minister, Zhang Ziguang, told him, quote, China will take further action on the so-called charges by the U.S.
China immediately suspended U.S.-Chinese cybersecurity discussions. The raid to find Osama bin Laden in Pakistan was a success, but the snooping that led to it won't be tried again.
To nab Osama bin Laden, the CIA asked a Pakistani doctor to get DNA samples at the bin Laden compound, claiming it was part of an immunization program. American schools of public health have complained that such a health program should never be used in that manner, and the president's top counterterrorism deputy has written to the health school deans agreeing the CIA will never use that tactic again.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Big beef recall just as summer barbecues and other events are kicking off. Nearly 2 million pounds of ground beef have been called back. ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor Dr. Richard Besser has some safety tips for cooking burgers.
If you're using a meat thermometer, you want your burgers cooked through to 160 degrees, or just make sure they're brown all the way through, and don't put them back on that plate that had the raw meat. You do that, you're going to be safe.
Beef from a Michigan firm could be tainted with E. coli. A flooding disaster in Serbia and Bosnia is getting worse. Rivers have overflowed. Tons of drowned cows, pigs, and sheep, and other animals are a health hazard. Thousands of people have been evacuated after very heavy rains. This is ABC News.
Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the costs, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Men alternative to the little blue pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-731-0823 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply delivered discreetly to your door. Just call 800-731-0823. That's 800-731-0823. Again, 800-731-0823.
Now news about your money. The price consumers pay for cable TV and broadband access has been rising faster than the price of most other products recently. Now, with several mergers in the works, could prices go even higher?
Certainly possible, particularly in the context of what's going on in the pay TV industry overall, which is a real broad consolidation going across the industry.
Paul Sweeney, media analyst with Bloomberg Industries.
Their primary business no longer is cable TV. Their primary business is providing broadband into
Comcast
the home.
Comcast wants to take over Time Warner Cable. AT&T has agreed to take over DirecTV. Companies need to spend more to keep up with demand.
The U.S. market lags behind many countries in Europe and even some of the emerging markets in terms of speed.
Paul Sweeney. The Justice Department going after more tax cheats and foreign banks that help them. Switzerland's second biggest bank has admitted criminal wrongdoing, paying a big fine. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Visit your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and take the EcoBoost Challenge today. The 2014 Escape offers great gas mileage and available foot-activated liftgate. Visit driveoneohio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy.
My sister was telling me how unhappy she was in her marriage. And I said to her, come to me. She said, I can't, because I have to think about honor. She didn't want to dishonor the family by leaving her husband. In the end, she set herself on fire. Rubina did, and she died.
The concept of honor, it's very difficult to explain it to Western societies.
Honor is something that is carried and contained in women and is there to be guarded by men.
Anything from wearing short sleeves, refusing to wear a headscarf, being seen talking to a man,
those things can be deemed dishonorable.
Thousands of women have been detained for dressing un-Islamically. Like this woman screaming as she's pushed into a police car.
The honor system in Muslim-majority societies is really the basis of a lot of harm that is perpetuated against women.
It's systematic, institutionalized misogyny.
I was crying and begging him to stop. Then he put his hand on my mouth like this. I couldn't breathe. I was crying. But he used me anyway.
The issue of forced marriages, child marriage, and honor abuse is a worldwide problem.
When you do dissent with what is portrayed as mainstream belief, you are ostracized. There are threats of murder, there are threats of rape, physical mutilation.
It's important to talk about what happens physically so that every human being, male and female, understand that the genitals of the female are cut.
We don't need sympathy, empathy, pity. We need systematic change in the Muslim world.
From Bahrain to Egypt, women have raised their voices and their fists in demanding universal rights.
People of all backgrounds can make a difference.
My sisters in solidarity,
there has never been a better time than now to turn the tide. We need a whole army of women helping other women.
We will speak up for our rights, and we will bring change to our voices.
Hey, we're back. If you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, I have a friend on here, and I've not met her before, but I'm going to consider her a friend. And she's got a sympathizer now because, you hear about it, you've heard words about it, but you really don't understand the extent of it. And it's not put in mainstream media. And I don't know why, because right now, we politicize everything, but we don't care about anything, and I'll put it that way. So, Amanda, thank you so much. Tell me, I want to continue this conversation because I have a problem with the politicizing of women right now.
Yes.
And you see, they're using women for votes. They want us
yes.
to really understand that they care about women. But what I'm hearing is they don't care about all women. They only care about the easy issues that will get them elected and put them back in power. And that includes the women in Congress also.
Yes, unfortunately. Unfortunately, women in power in our world don't care about the women who have no power. They don't do anything for women with no power. I have talked to them. I have tried. My own senator, Mrs. Mikulski, has refused to sign for a conference, to come and speak in a conference in support of American Muslim women.
Are you serious?
I beg your pardon?
She refused?
Yes, she did. She refused to sign the conference. She refused to speak for us. She has refused to vote for legislation that I had worked on for 2 years, and I begged her office, and they totally ignored me. She didn't even meet with me. Her staff members stopped meeting with me after twice, and when I begged her to sign this the legislation passed in the Senate with the vote of men. No, she didn't vote for it, and that really hurt me, broke my heart, that a woman in power refuses to support women who have no power. So this is nothing new to us.
But she's a Democrat, and they're for all women's rights. I heard them this morning on MSNBC, and they are really on the roll that they're going to free all women from all types of bondage.
Well, that doesn't include Muslim women, I promise you. Because, I don't know, because what Muslim women are under the control of the husbands, they are not allowed to step out of the house, they don't vote. They have no votes. That's which, even now when I'm talking about it, I have...
What do you mean they don't vote? They're
Americans. My heart.
Women, they don't vote. All Americans have the right to vote.
Right, but Muslim women who live under the tyranny of Sharia law husband, they're not even allowed to step out of the house, let alone voting. They are objects. They are not human beings. This issue, I understand, for Western women, especially American women, it is inconceivable. It's very difficult for you to understand that something like this might exist, but it does. Not even in the Middle East and Africa. Here in America, I know women who have had pushed women, Muslim women, pushing for their daughter to get genital mutilation done on them because their daughters would not find a husband in their own or no man, Muslim man of their culture, which, you know, Sudanese
yeah.
culture, would marry a woman who has not been cut. So even
wow.
mothers, even Muslim mothers in some of the cultures push their daughters to be slaves because it's the rule of men.
My first show, I want to say, one of my first shows when I first got on the air was with a young lady who was mutilated
mm-hmm.
by Muslims as a
mm-hmm.
child. and that her parent, her mom, it was their custom to do this. They had to cut the women.
Yeah.
And she was in USA Today, and I had called her and asked her to come on. Mm-hmm. And I really thought it had gotten better.
No, it hasn't.
Especially, I thought when we talk, I mean, because when you look at, when I see a lot of women in a lot of burkas. When I go down to Columbus, especially when I go to Detroit and Dearborn, Michigan, I mean, it's the highest concentration of Islam outside of the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I thought that people that were here in America, they did not have to adhere in, nor did they adhere to all of the customs that were in the Middle East. I am so amazed to hear that you have women that are going through this, and then we're not saying anything about it, but we're politicizing American women when we have real women who are suffering on our own soil.
Yes. Well, the issue is that there is a proverb in America. You can take what from the person, but you can't. Anyway, the issue is that men. Muslim men come to America. For better living. Okay,
yes.
Like all the immigrants who came to this country, they came because all Muslim countries are poor. No matter how much money petrodollars pours into their country, they are so corrupt. And the Sharia law is so economically dominant that all of them are uneducated, poor, and backward. So they come to America for jobs, many of these people. They don't come for freedom. They come for jobs, for better economic standards. And they bring their Sharia law with them. When they bring the family here, the family is still living under the Sharia law rules because the father is the ruler. It's not the country, the laws of the land that applies to them. It's the laws, the Sharia laws that applies to them through the father, through the men in the family or the community. So therefore, these women and children have to live under the Sharia laws of the Africa or Middle East or wherever they have come from in America. And unfortunately, nobody, even our political correctness or multiculturalism is empowering these men. Because they do not allow the laws apply to them. Because, I don't know, are they afraid or are they trying to feel them at home or they don't want to make them feel discriminated against? Whatever it is, the issue is they are allowing the Sharia law being ruling in America over communities. And not the country's laws. These communities, so they live under their own rule, under their own laws. And so the women live as slaves, as usual. It doesn't make any difference whether they are geographically in America, in England, in Canada, or in Egypt. It doesn't make any difference. They live under the man's law.
We have a czar, the Sharia czar that President Obama put in place. How is the spread of the Arab Spring and all of that and turning pretty much the Middle East into an almost full caliphate? How is that affecting the women in those areas? Are they coming more and more up under, being oppressed, or is it changing for a better over there?
Well, actually, things have there is a huge mistake, problem, misunderstanding, lack of knowledge in American foreign policy. It has been. And that is that you cater to the powers, that you you do not learn about cultures, different cultures of the people to understand. For example, Egypt. Egypt had Mubarak, had Sadat. Sadat Day was assassinated by Muslim Brotherhood, and Mubarak was president. Okay, it wasn't a democracy.
Right.
But Mubarak was containing the Sharia law group, Muslim Brotherhood, and trying to allow slowly secularism take over the country, trying to educate people so future generations would be educated, not influenced by Sharia law, men and women, grow up a few generations, like 50 years, 100 years later, to become civilized and democratic. But no, we had to get rid of Mubarak and allow Muslim Brotherhood to take over and establish Sharia law, which we saw the younger generation who had grown up in under secular system, under equal rights. They have had universities to get educated. Those young people didn't go for Muslim Brotherhood. They rose up again. So these things, American foreign policy is very naive when it comes and they're succumbing to the Sharia law, to the powerful, let's say, establishment of men of religion power. So what happens is mistake after mistake after mistake, and that what happens, the Middle East and North Africa and East Africa gets worse and worse and worse for the people who want to be free. For example, Iran, when I lived in Iran, I got American education under a quota for women to get foreign education. That's how progressive Iran was under the Shah. And women had total equal right. I was the first woman to become managing director of the customs administration in Iran. There were five women senators. There were 36 women members of the parliament. And there were mayors all over the little cities and towns and villages in Iran. What happened? 1979, the huge mistake of Mr. Carter.
Absolutely.
Supported Khomeini and created Islamism in Iran. And now we have to deal with what's going on in Iran, with nuclear bomb, with international terrorism, with all kinds of things, and not forgetting about the human rights of 75 million human people who live in Iran and want to be our friend, America's friend. They want to be a member of international community, but the regime is killing them putting them in prison, torturing them, and nobody is allowed to open their mouths. And this is the mistake of our naivete in foreign policies. And today we now listen to Sharia law, but they don't listen to us. They don't listen to a group of activist Muslim women who want to be equal, who want to be free. They don't listen to us. The media never, ever interviews us.
No, but they don't, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. But they always have all the men who are running, ruling, you know, the Sharia law and pushing Kher, Isna, Ikna, all of these people, they have them on the media, on television, CNN, Fox, this, that, all of them. NBC, CBS, MSNBC, they all have the men, the Muslim men on. They never talk to one feminist Muslim woman like us. They don't care about us. We are totally ignored. Universities, they were supposed to, I just forgot the name of university. Ayan Hirsi Ali is a scholar, is a woman who had been cut as a little girl in Sudan or Somalia. And in Sudan, she was cut as a little girl. And at the age of 10, they forced her to marry a 56-year-old man. Mm-hmm. And then at the age of 12, she fled, went to Europe. And in Europe, she started telling her story. She went to school and got educated. And when her story was made into a movie, the Islamist in Holland assassinated the producer of the movie, and she fled to America. Now she's a scholar at Harvard Kennedy School, and one of the universities was supposed to give her an honorary doctorate this graduation year. They canceled. Why? Because she was in honor diary movies. Why? Because the lobbyist organization for the Islamist establishment in the world that has billions of petrodollars forced and intimidate universities to listen to us. The media goes along with them. The men in power go along, women also in power go along with them, but nobody wants to listen to us. And thank you for listening to me.
Well, listen, I'm enjoying talking to you. Go ahead, Jeff.
You're excellent, and I God be with you in your struggle to get this to come to the forefront. Because just maybe, we'll get some leadership in this country that is smart enough to figure it out. Because this is craziness to the nth degree.
The number is 347-945-5229. Oscar, do you have anything you want to say?
Oh, hello, Tracy.
Good morning.
Good morning, my dear.
Good morning.
Hi there. The young lady's a very good speaker, isn't she? And
yes, she is.
It's excellent to hear what she's bringing to the platform here. And it's very obvious that at some point Western nations are going to have to address this. And at the moment, what you've got is a crazy situation, particularly where the leftists have this series of techniques and tools that they tend to like to use to promote their agenda. And included in that is this notion that they like to portray themselves as the ones that are big-hearted and kind to everybody. And so, of course, you end up with this scenario where anyone who wants to criticize radical Islam is going to be painted as being an extreme racist and an extreme right winger and all this kind of thing, and so it neuters and disables any kind of a dialogue which would be needed in order to begin a fight back. You actually need to say, well, what are we going to do about this? Because as you can see, in Iran or Persia, whatever you want to call it, it's been taken over by the Islamists, and it's been made into an Islamic nation. It wasn't, but now it is. And that same sort of thing is going to be happening, is it not, in the Western nations like the United States of America and England, where I'm from. And, of course, we've been forbidden from actually raising any kind of fingers of objection. They've used a clever technique. This is the Islamists themselves now. They threaten you and say, well, if you criticize us, you say anything against us, you're insulting our God. And so we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you for that. Of course, what kind of a God would be so weak that he can't withstand criticism and scrutiny or an evaluation of the things that he's supposedly telling us as mere human beings that we're supposed to do? But if we don't do something, we're going to be like the young lady speaking, and where are we going to go? Are we going to be the ones that are either converted or killed, or are we going to still find some other part of the globe where we can run to, like she has done, and where, you know, we can continue to try to convince the people in those lands that we now have to put up a fight against the spread, which has now taken over, you know, England and America in the way that it took over Iran or Persia.
That's true. It's a very serious. Are you living in England now?
Yes, I certainly am. I'm English. I was born here and lived here for most of my life. I've lived some brief periods in other countries, but it's certainly
sure.
Very Islamized, or whatever you call it here now. There's a definite spread of it, and there's a definite spread of
the notion that we're not...
Go on.
No, I was going to say, you're having a huge problem with Islam in England and Great Britain right now, am I correct?
Yes, it's a problem of the spread of it, and it's a problem of the inability for anyone to actually oppose it in any way. And if you were a tyrant, if you are someone who is a tyrant, you don't declare yourself as that, do you? Nobody ever does. No one would ever approach you and say, hey, I am a tyrant, you have to bow down to me. They always try to find weaselly ways of getting around it, and they dress themselves up as being something. And what you've got with Islam is that they've taken some sort of principles of a religion and converted that into what is a very expansionist and hostile political ideology, which they are spreading across the globe. They're continuing to do that. And it pains me to have to say that, because, you know, we're talking about other human beings here, but they've been infected by some kind of a twisted mentality. And, you know, it's going to spread unless someone is willing to stand up for it. As the lady says, like, people have stood up against apartheid in South Africa, and people have stood up against the spread of nasty communism in some parts of Eastern Europe.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I remember in 1979 when, you know, you started having the upheaval in Iran and the hostages were taken. I was in Germany at that time. Now, they weren't having a problem with Islam, but you certainly had a problem in Paris, in France, excuse me, with it, and it was changing the culture of everything else. In fact, I think that's where they came first and started setting up was in France, and probably because of the sort of non-fighting nature of France. You can correct me if I'm not correct, please, because you know, like I said, that was a snapshot.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well. About France, let me tell you, one of the most important advisors of Khomeini when he was in France before he came to Iran was a well-known Marxist philosopher, French philosopher by the name of Foucault. Mr.
Uh-huh.
Foucault was considered Khomeini his hero, and he was his advisor as to how to deal with the Western media, how to fool them, what to say, what not to say, and how to get the attention of the Western governments. So in reality, the Iranian people became victims of some of these Marxist, Leninist, socialist Western Europeans who supported and taught Khomeini and empowered Khomeini to take over Iran.
Mm-hmm. Not so blind, Mike. Your mic is on.
Okay, I guess
I want to thank you guys Amanda, I want to thank you guys for coming on. It's called Honor Diaries, and it's honordiaries.com. There is a where you can download the movie in high definition for, I think, $9.95. You can get the DVD for $14.99. If you want to support this cause, they're trying to sell a scarf on there. I think the scarf is $50. Please go out and support them. This, you know, when you don't have any backing, and you don't have any support, you're doing it all yourself, and we can be very, very disingenuous when we say we are in help of women and women's rights and all that kind of stuff, because if you don't help all, you don't help any. And when you see women that are in burqas, you assume because they're in that's the life that they choose and that's the life that they want. And what we're hearing this morning is there are a lot of women that you see walking around in full burqa. They're in something that they don't want to be in. They want help, but they're not allowed to cry for it. And if they do, they can die for it. That's pretty much what we're hearing, and that's what we're saying. And we need to understand that we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. And you guys know that I am a evangelical, Pentecostal, Christian believer. And I believe that it is our right it's our duty, even if you don't believe in their religion, but to always do the right thing when it comes to people, because all of them have a soul, and to love them through what they're going through and to help support them and to come out of bondage. The reason why African Americans stayed in slavery so long and stayed in Jim Crow so long is because people did not say anything that knew that they were wrong to bring them out. And so this is an opportunity for us to help. Amanda, I thank you so much for your time. I know I kept you longer than you were supposed to, but it was it's a very, very interesting topic, and it's a very, very important topic to me. And I learned
I have to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be heard and bringing to your listeners the voice of the women who need support. Without the majority support, minority who doesn't get to be heard can't do anything. And we are hoping that we get our sisters' support in our fight. And if your listeners can petition the universities to screen this movie, if they can petition their congressmen, the delegates, the state government, and their governors, that they should listen to the people, to the Muslim women in this country and around the world, in the Middle East, and not go by Sharia law and powerful men. That would really be helpful, because we need more names, more people standing with us against the power.
Well, again, thank you. If you want to stay on, you're more than welcome. I've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion. We're going to talk about I want to talk about this gender thing and the gender gap. I want to talk about the disingenuousness of it. And I'm going to probably rant and rave because I learned something in the last hour, and I've got issues now. So you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Don't forget to download the WSOM app. We'll see you in a moment.
Harper Keegan with your headline news. More than 30,000 people attended the Thunder Over the Valley air show in Youngstown over the weekend, but some complained the shuttle system in place for the show was anything but convenient. Some people complained after the show wrapped up, they waited up to 3 hours for a way back to their cars. Brookfield School District is being saved once again by the state. For the second year in a row now, Brookfield has asked the state for financial assistance. The controlling board has agreed to loan the district $514,000 to cover its debt, and the money will be paid back over time. And Catholic educators are expressing concern over the future of Catholic schools in the Valley. St. Joseph and the Immaculate Heart of Mary School will be the 18th elementary school to close in the Youngstown Diocese in the last decade. Enrollment has dropped 48% over that time frame. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-293-4131. That's 1-800-293-4131. When you call the National Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, National Student Loan Relief can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. National Student Loan Relief will also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-293-4131. National Student Loan Relief has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-293-4131 for free information today. That's 1-800-293-4131.
Radio is exciting, and you can be part of it. We're looking for qualified candidates to join our sales team. If you're energetic, enjoy fast-paced workdays, and are striving to earn a higher income, your path to the next level starts here, on the radio. You'll work directly with local business owners, showing them how our radio stations can help attract new customers to their business. To arrange a confidential appointment with our director of sales, email your resume to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. Cumulus is an equal opportunity employer.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I hope you're having a good day today. I'm in studio with Jeff, and I was just talking with a girl by the name of Amanda, and she was telling me about Sharia law and the women. I'm being very, very real about this. I did not realize that if you were here in America, you were an American-born citizen, and you wanted to walk away from Sharia law and or the issue that you were in, that you could not just walk away. I did not realize that. I thought if you just wanted to pack up and go, you just, you know, told them, peace out, I'm out, and you left. And to hear that they will kill you if you walk away, they will take you back to an area that recognizes Sharia law. And then the people that are here, that they know about this, they're doing nothing about it. And I'm watching this gender, you know, we all talk about gender equality. And this upcoming year is going to be the year of gender equality in the election. It's going to be about money equality in the election. They're talking about all this stuff that they're going to make everything equal. And I'm coming to find out that they're lying again. And I'm serious, Jeff. They're lying again. And they're lying to the people, and the people are sucking it up. Oh, yeah, they're going to do this. And no, they're not.
They're not trying to bust a grape.
They're just trying to get what you have, which is your vote, so they can put back in power, so they can do what they want to do, give you a couple crumbs. If you can smell the crumbs, get the crumbs and or no other crumb. And then if you can't, too bad, and then walk away. And I don't think we realize that. And so I want you to call your friends and your family and tell them that Tracy is telling you guys they're coming to get you. They don't care. And it would behoove you to wake up and smell the coffee. Because if not, they're going to kill you.
We're right there.
Pianca, your mic is on.
Are our pots in?
They're pods in. Not so blind, Mike. There, Oscar, your mic is on. I'm just saying.
Hey, hello. I'm still here.
Yes. Jump in the conversation whenever you'd like, because right now it's just open mic. Because I'm looking at the Nigerian women, 200 missing schoolgirls.
Just 200 now? They found 100?
I think some were returned.
Right.
But they're being sold into slavery, and most of them being used as sex slaves. Well, I mean, here we go again.
Yeah.
And we're not paying attention. This is not new.
You have to understand Islam and its mores to understand why and how somebody does this. And they feel fully justified in their mind that it's A-okay for them to do this because women in certain parts of Islam are considered as nothing but chattel. They're just like she was trying to say, that if a man sins, it's the fault of the woman. So if a young Muslim man finds a woman that is attractive and rapes her, it is that girl's fault, not his, because she deceived him and brought or enticed him and caused him to make this move.
But my issue is, where are the people who are supposed to be the gatekeepers?
There aren't any.
No, Jeff. No. See, we have 438 people in our Congress. Oscar, how many people do you have in Parliament?
Good question. I think 630, I believe. I could be wrong.
So if you add those two together, you got at least 1,000 gatekeepers keeping two continents. Two countries, and they're supposed to be, and if you look at them, they act as though they are the police of the world. Are they not? Ask President Obama. President Obama is the president. He is the president of the world. Is he not?
Yeah, he's president of the world.
Okay, so if he's president of the world, what are we doing?
You have to understand too something that I'm going to say that, you know, people were calling certain of our presidents stupid and everything, you know Bush got it, but he wasn't the only one that got it. We call things on a very, very local, parochial type of way we judge things. These people know what they're doing. They're doing the things they're doing on purpose. Barack Obama may not be totally aware of what he's carrying out for the progressives, but you better believe that the progressives who are causing him and the Illuminists that are causing him to do this and make the decision he's doing, they have a master plan.
But, Jeff, so tell me, I'm serious. I mean, right now, if you look at what's going on, if you're watching any liberal news media, right now we are pushing for equality. So if they're pushing for equality, why are they not allowing Why are they allowing a lot of these women to remain in bondage?
They don't care nothing about those people being in bondage.
So where are
the media? The media doesn't care. They care about power, and that's it. This is power. You're going to have the elitist of the world that run the world anyway. Okay, one side of them is clamoring for this thing because they know what they're going to set up. They're going to set up an all-in-all out war between Israel and some Western countries and Islam. And they're hoping that that war wipes out so many of the people, because don't forget, one of the things they want is they want to have less people on earth to govern, so that when they take over, there won't be a question about who's in control and who's not. They're doing this on purpose. Henry Kissinger set up OPEC. Henry Kissinger set up OPEC that he knew was going to fail in before 50 years was up. And we're coming to that time.
You know, she kept on mentioning OPEC. She kept on mentioning OPEC.
Uh-huh.
And she kept on mentioning oil and gas.
And that has fueled this. Look at the writing, and this is what you have to do. Who's the father what do you call the group of people? Every Masons. Albert Pike. Look at his writings. Look at what he predicted would be the Third World War. And that not only was it going to be the Third World War, it was going to be a prescribed war. And who's going to do the prescribing? The elitist, illuminist of the world are allowing this, causing this, letting it happen, directing it. Now, if I'm, you know, like I'm saying, I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, politically, this country has illuminists in both parties.
Yeah.
In all parties. They have illuminists in control of everything. Your businesses are controlled. Your chambers of commerce.
Okay.
What do you think is going to happen?
But what I'm saying, Jeff, just listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where do the American people, where do the normal people like me, where do we come in, and why are we allowing this to happen to us, and how do we get off this? Right now, I keep on calling it a hamster wheel because I can't find it. It is a perpetual, hey, Eric, your mic is on. It is a perpetual, ongoing hamster wheel.
Yes, it is.
And we keep on spinning, and the world keeps on turning, and we all keep on going absolutely nowhere. And at the end of the day, we're going to be sitting on the sidelines, and if Jesus does not come back in a closed day, we're going to feel the ramifications and the effects of it because we're feeling it now.
You ever hear of critical thinking, Trey?
I keep on telling y'all they took that out of school.
Yes, they did.
So you can't tell me about critical thinking because I'm not allowed to think.
Thank you. That is what's going on with America, because for one people to have control over one side of things and other, and at this particular time, we have nationally, we have Democrats that have made an excellent move in merchandising poor people. They use poor people to keep themselves in power.
I'm having a problem because poor people don't know they're impoverished.
That's the whole reason that they're successful.
And so, hold on, Jeff. Hold on.
Harriet Tubman said what?
I'd have freed more people.
Yes.
And I could have convinced they were slaves.
Thank you.
But they didn't realize they were slaves.
We'd have more free Americans if we could just convince them that somebody really is taking their freedom. But you got these people thinking and clamoring for one side to put them in bondage. And they're the ones that's putting them all back in chains, as the vice president said, and got people all excited to go out and vote and put the president back in power and put Democrat members in it. It's the one side they're using, and they're playing with such a dangerous game right here. This is dangerous.
Eric, your mic is on. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. Excuse me. It's that whole progressive mindset. You know, move forward, but you're not going anywhere.
518-519, your mic is on.
Tracy, thank you so much for bringing this to light. Because this is something that really needs to be talked about, that people need to be informed about, and the biggest thing we can do to stop this from happening is to inform people. I don't know, I didn't hear the entire program, but I just got in here recently to hear a part of the lady that you had on talking about what's going on with the
Sharia law.
The women, Sharia law.
Right.
I don't know whether you have talked about what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan.
Hmm.
Dearborn, Michigan is totally under Sharia law right now.
Absolutely. Nobody knows that,
Well, this is why I said what I did, that I really thank Tracy for bringing this up, because this is the kind of thing that needs to be talked about with people, that they understand what's going on. The context that Islam is a very calm and religion is not true. Their basic religion says, tell people what they want to hear, and then we'll do what we need to do. And it all goes back to, if you are a Christian or you're Jewish, they don't want anything to do with you, period. If you don't worship Allah, then you're an infidel.
And you need to be eliminated. The Muslim is allowed to lie to cheat, sell alcohol to the infidel. You can do anything to the infidel because the infidel is not converted to Islam, and they are just like dirt to you, and it doesn't matter what you
do.
Hello,
Tracy.
Yeah. Now
you have to understand who Tracy is, Tracy.
Hold on, Eric. Somebody just called my name out. Who was that?
Pionki.
Pionki, go
Tracy,
ahead.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Yeah, that's the same thing that the Christians done to the pagans.
No,
who
they
was
didn't.
Black.
No,
Pope
they
Eugenius
didn't.
V and Pope Nicholas IV told Isabella and Ferdinand that it was okay to enslave Africans.
Please.
That's history.
Pionki, please do not confuse Catholicism with Christianity. Because it's not the same. Please.
Thank
just
you.
Because it had a Christian
there's,
moniker behind it. Hold it down.
And that's not the conversation right now, so we're not going
it.
There.
Yeah, and once again, they're not the same, especially in the beginning. They were not. Whenever you see any religion trying to force somebody to be part of it, that has nothing to do with God. Because God
well,
gave
the same
you free
thing
will.
Can be said by,
Pionki,
same
Pionki,
thing can be
Pionki.
Said by Israel.
Sweetheart,
Islam,
Pionki.
No,
Pionki, I just said, Pionki, that is not the conversation today. So please do not go there today. We'll do that on another day. Today we're talking about Sharia law. Do not collude the conversation with another agenda.
Well, let me give you some examples of Sharia law. Sharia law is like the Sharia bank that is in Minnesota, like Sharia bank that is in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and like the Sharia bank that's in Devon, Chicago, that's been there for over 40 years. Well, they charge no interest nor any mortgage on businesses.
But again,
so let me finish.
Those women, that Sharia law that you're talking about, if you didn't listen to the woman that we're talking about, we're talking about the in bondage and or the discount of women. I've got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Well, that's
the local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to this is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. They're the two B's of summer, barbecues and beaches. Today there are warnings about both from health and safety experts. Nearly 2 million pounds of ground beef have been recalled.
because they could be tainted with E. coli. At least a dozen people got sick in four states.
We will follow up a little bit if there's any of these people or they get sick, or if this new case, which is under investigation right now, pans out to be something worse, we're going to pursue that.
Dr. David Grossman, local health commissioner in Lucas County, Ohio. The four states are Ohio, Missouri, Massachusetts, and Michigan. Doctors say make sure you cook your meat thoroughly at those barbecues. And ABC Scott Goldberg says there's a warning from the Red Cross about swimming.
Of course you know how to swim, don't you? Maybe not if you ask the Red Cross. It says only 56% of adults who say they can swim can actually perform five critical skills. Floating or treading for a full minute without a flotation device, treading or floating in a circle, then finding a way out of the water, getting into water over your head, then returning to the surface, exiting a pool without a ladder, and swimming 25 yards without stopping. The Red Cross calls these skills essential for helping yourself in an emergency. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
China's foreign ministry summoned the U.S. ambassador in Beijing to complain about allegations of cyber espionage. China reacting to criminal charges against five Chinese military officials for allegedly hacking into U.S. companies to steal trade secrets. The people of Moore, Oklahoma, are remembering what happened 1 year ago today. A devastating tornado killed two dozen people and injured hundreds. Some prefer to look forward.
It's pretty exciting. We're going to have a new home, a new school, and hopefully a happier year.
More resident Jacqueline Russell. This is ABC News.
Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the costs, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Men alternative to the little blue pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-731-0823 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply delivered discreetly to your door. Just call 800-731-0823. That's 800-731-0823. Again, 800-731-0823.
Police in Los Angeles say actor Michael Jace has been arrested on suspicion of homicide. His wife was found shot dead at their home. Jace, who played police officers on the TV series The Shield and Southland, has been taken into custody. The army in Thailand declaring martial law after months of unrest. Jonathan Head of our partner, the BBC, is in Bangkok.
The government was not consulted about this, so this is the army making its own decision to impose martial law, invoking a 100-year-old law that allows that, but that the government has said it is still technically in power, so it does not add up to a coup.
The elected prime minister refusing to step down. Vice President Joe Biden calling on European allies to stand firm in punishing Russia for its role in the unrest in Ukraine and its annexation of Crimea. Biden today beginning a trip to Romania aimed at reassuring Eastern European allies of American support. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Safe Auto gets it. Life doesn't stop. That's why they're here 24-7 to help you keep going. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO if you ever need a friendly voice, online or through their mobile app. The right car insurance for the right price. Safe Auto. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambryn can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight. Yes, even that stubborn body fat with Ambryn Weight Loss. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambryn Weight Loss. Call 1-800-424-8740. That's 1-800-424-8740.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the SOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm in studio with Jeff Green, and we got people. We got a new guy from England on the line with us. Good to have him in on the chat line with us. Muscle Blind Mike, Pianchi, Eric, and 718. Your mic is on, 718.
Yes, Tracy, it's Amenti. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Amenti. How are you?
I'm doing good. She left. I wanted to, what was my question? I really did. I was trying to understand what was her anger with American women. I can tell she would get upset when she mentioned American women. And I wanted to know also.
We're concerned about abortion. We're concerned about getting paid, so we say. We're concerned about birth control and who's going to pay for a $7 birth control. And these girls are getting cut in their genitals and sewn up and getting their clitoris cut out so they don't have any sexual gratification as a young child, and we're not saying a word.
And they're getting beat and mistreated by their husbands, each and every Muslim, but a whole lot of them.
And if they go to walk away, they get killed or beat down or they get locked up. And then we say that we're for all women, but as long as it is in our agenda, we're for them. But if it's not in our agenda, we walk away. That's why she's mad at us.
But
what
does she want? If these men are able to, first of all, I'm not going to call them weak because sadly, it's a mental thing that's going on with these women. These women are very mentally enslaved. If you're coming from your country, you're coming to America, and
they're
it's your horror
coming.
Law. Wait, I'm talking about the ones that come here, the ones that's coming here, what she said with the situations, the ones who are here, and the Shahara law is still going on while they're here because it's all mental. I mean, we can get killed trying to help them. So what does she want us to do?
So can I ask you a question? Listen, we can't. Most of us ain't gonna get killed trying to help them. But this is the issue. You've got congresswomen, and you've got you know. I watch Morning Joe in the morning, and you've got Nina Brzezinski, and she's all rallying for women's rights and all this. But you haven't yet to hear her bring this issue to the forefront. See, we want to be for the issues that are going to motivate you to do what we want you to do, but we're not going to bring issues up that may cause real systemic change in America.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Pionki.
Was this the lady from Nigeria?
Yeah, no. No, she was from Iran.
She was from Iran,
pardon me?
Yeah. But what about, hold on. You have religious freedom when you come to America. You can choose to follow religion, not follow it, or be whatever you want to be. That was the point.
That this you hit it on the head. In my mind, I say you have religious freedom. And what she's saying, even if you're born in America, you are a United States citizen. If you are raised in a home and the father is of Sharia law, he can beat you and walk away, and it's like, well, it's my religion because I beat her.
He can kill you.
Yeah, I watched a video. I watched a video of a beheading over in Syria of a Christian. I'm gonna tell you, that was very, very disturbing. They don't just chop your head off with one fell swoop. They actually saw your head off slowly.
All right, but I'm talking about. Listen. I get all that in other countries. We can't do nothing about that. They open.
No. Amici, we're talking about here. We're talking about Dearborn, Michigan.
Absolutely, where Sharia law is in full effect in the court there, where you have honor killings going on, and you have women being beat because they looked proud or they didn't wear their burqa at the right time. You got to think about this. You live in New York, I know, where everybody seems to be, you know, we're just trying to live up here, but, you know, you better believe that there's an undercurrent going on that is taking over this America, and it's going to rob you especially of your freedom that you think you have now.
That is the issue. The issue is, I honestly, I'm just like you, Amici, I'm going, well, you're in America, just divorce him and walk away and leave your burqa at the door. They won't let them. And they
right,
know
who won't let them.
Because it's a mental thing.
No. It's not because it's a mental thing. When they go into the court system, remember, they walk away with absolutely nothing. They go into that shelter if they can, and they'll be good to stay alive because they're property. And the court system here in America is not as, you know, we call it the women's court until it comes to Islamic women. And that's what she was saying.
Well, was she born in the United States?
No.
No, it's not her.
Iran.
No, she comes from Iran.
Well,
and
she's here as an immigrant, that's one thing, but a person that's born here in the United States have United States. The same thing in Nigeria. Nigeria Constitution.
She's not talking
respects.
About that, Tilgi. You missed all of what she said. She was saying how under Sharia law, women are being beat. They're being...
In America.
They're being sexually abused. They're being America and all over the world, and they're being used as chattel, and they're being killed if they do one thing outside of the honor of their family or their husband. They cannot leave a bad marriage because they will be killed for honor killing because you dishonor the family. The woman is responsible for carrying honor. That's what she was teaching. The woman
Since you say it all over the world, in Nigeria, Sharia is respected in the Nigerian Constitution.
Okay.
We're not talking about Nigerian or Christian Nigerians and Muslim Nigerians. The Constitution protects Nigerians, period. And
these
Sharia
Christians
is practiced.
Nigeria are being murdered.
Let me finish, please.
No.
Nigeria, now you made me lose my thoughts. Sharia is respected, but a Nigerian citizen is a Nigerian citizen. You cannot violate their rights or their constitution rights. And when you do so, then, you know, that's when things kick in. Same thing, we have to respect the gays here in the United States.
my brother.
You missed the whole conversation, Pianta.
Sure,
you sure missed it. Y'all really, you really just, you just,
well,
you just came in on the tail
about,
end.
I hear what you said,
you know,
about
you came,
punishing
she
Michigan.
Was on with,
I don't,
Pianta,
I like
Pianta,
to see that.
She was there, Pianta, she was on for an hour. You missed the whole conversation, and you're just trying
now,
to come in, and it ain't working. It ain't fitting in.
Tracy.
Yes.
The Ku Klux Klan was respected in the South, okay? and what they did was respected, not because people thought it was such a good thing, because they were scared to death of those people because they knew how vile they were. This is what we're talking about in the case of Sharia law. This is what we're talking about because the people are afraid. Why? Because, you know, these people will strap bombs on themselves and come in and blow up a whole marketplace full of people.
Just for you.
Just for you. And guess what? You better wake up.
Because it's coming to a plaza near you.
Near you.
440, your mic is on. Good morning.
Morning. You know, a lot of this, it's our own fault. You have a president that is a Muslim sympathizer. Half of his doggone cabinet is, you know,
Muslim
Brotherhood.
Yeah.
So what's the big surprise?
Because you can't get you remember you can't get
what's
people to believe
surprise?
It, and your
you
and your media
that...
and your media doesn't tell the truth.
No, you have Jimmy Carter too going on.
They're with them. What's the big surprise? I mean,
you don't.
Come on.
What's the big surprise is people don't realize that they don't believe it. That's the big surprise.
Yeah, it's hard. It's even hard for me to just believe. I mean, I'm here in New York City, so I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But I'm sitting here listening to this, like, this is going on in America? Like, really? A Sharia law where it's, like, actually where they can just say they're going to turn their nose because of a Sharia law that women are being treated this way? So, yeah, it is kind of almost scary to think about. Like, wow, this is going on here in America.
How can you – oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all.
How can you be surprised? New York and California, it's cuckoo
because
land.
I did not realize, and until she actually brought it to my attention and me seeing it, because when I see a woman going down the street and she's in full burqa, or when I see her in the mall, and as I travel around, I assume in my mind she's in that because she chooses to be that and she's happy where she is.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to think that there are women suffering in silence, because they don't even allow them to vote. They don't allow them to, they are at the mercy of the man of that house. And for me, and so I believe she goes out and all she has to do is walk away. But we see people who are in battered wife syndrome who walk out the house and do their shopping and take care of the kids, yet they don't walk away. So now look at, and when you tie this to a belief system and to a religion, and you've got women who are walking around in, you know, 110 degree heat, looking like, you know, they in the wintertime with socks on, and you think that that's what they want to do, but it's not real. That's not true. And the bondage that they're being kept in, and there are people out there that know that these women want to be free, and when they try to free, and they set example for those of them who do escape, and show them that we will beat you, we will kill you, and we will cut your throat before we let you leave us because you are mine. That's how they did the slaves, and that's how they're doing a lot of these women. Now, some women may enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. Some women like to be beat. And that's how they get their glory. But there are some women who are suffering in silence, and there are young girls who are a part of this, who are born United States citizens, who are raised in homes of Sharia law, who want out, but if they want out, they die.
Yeah, they can't. No divorcing. There's no divorce there. So you have to, you need to wake up to what we're saying and what she was saying. She was crying out because many of her, especially now in Iran, since you've had the coming of the Ayatollah Khomeini, as they say. Now Khomeini was put in power, took over power from the Shah of Iran. And at the behest of who? Our last worst president, and that was President Jimmy Carter. So now you have to understand that he created this mess. He created it by his foolish thinking that he's going to buy friendship with the Muslim Brotherhood, the same as this president thinks he's doing, I think. I don't know whether he's just following
orders.
We're not
quite sure what he's
or
doing.
Why. I'm not quite sure. And I can't call him
well,
stupid because he's not a stupid man.
Hey, Jeff,
he's
not
stupid.
You got a comment, Tracy.
Hold on, Pianki. Go ahead, Kofi and a man. Good morning.
Good morning. I listened to the whole interview or the whole diatribe that you guys are having. And the example that she gave, the example that she gave of Sharia law was that a man murdered his two daughters and then fled to Pakistan. Now, if he was practicing Sharia law, he would have went to the place in, as Jeff is claiming, Dearborn, Michigan, which somehow overrides the state of Michigan's constitution and overrides the American Constitution, and he would just and he would have stayed where he was and said, "I'm practicing Sharia law. I have the right to murder my kids." Of course, he didn't do that. He fled, and he's hiding somewhere in Pakistan.
America.
Like, just wait a minute, just like Osama bin Laden fled and tried to hide in Pakistan. Okay, so we understand you can't practice Sharia law as you're describing it. You cannot practice it here in the United States.
They practice it here in the United States. And not only that.
Hold on. We don't I don't want to hear call me the man, let him speak, and then you can go back and rebut him. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm telling you that, yes, in the United States, you've had honor killings right here. And guess what? Those people have gotten away. For the most part, with those honor killings, because they were under Sharia law, and they don't know what to do with this. That's why you have President Obama has a Sharia czar. That's why you have a Dearborn, Michigan, that is fully up under Sharia law. Every single day, you have prayers at noon in Dearborn, Michigan. The city shuts down. Everything stops. Nobody works, and because you know why? Because if you do, they were going to do something, too.
Think of it, man. Let me see. They even changed the football schedule for Ramadan.
I was going to say that. Tracy. That the games are played at night because during Ramadan, so they can play.
Absolutely. Because they do not want their children to play in the daytime because they're under their fast. Go ahead, Covina man.
Yes, Jeff is not going to be able to point to one single example of someone getting away with murder based upon their claim of Sharia law. Now, you can get away with murder based upon staying your ground, but you can't get away with murder based upon Sharia law.
Oh,
he's not
going
to be able to cite one incident.
Covina, man, you know what?
So we're going to wait. I'm gonna be monitoring Jeff's Facebook page for him to put up or shut up on this nonsense. Put up or shut up, Jeff. Show me that one incident. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. All right. Peace out. I got to go to work.
Go to work.
Have a good day.
Go to work. Because, you know, and let me say this. You know, just because you don't see a dope deal go down and you don't see them exchange hands does not mean that you don't know there's a crack house next door.
Mm. Okay. Covina, man.
He gone.
No, he's there.
He can hear
us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he can hear us. I'm going to just tell you, I've seen it done a couple times. So I understand where you're at, my friend. But if somebody does it and nobody knows that you did it, you get away with it. But in America, they have gotten away in the court system with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600.
Wow.
The number is 347-945-5229. If you didn't know, it was a Prince Day. And we'll see you on the other side of our break.
Unique,
individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you. With
where are we at on break? 10:25.
Yeah, it's all gone quiet over there. It's just a break.
Huh? What did you say?
I said it's all gone quiet over there.
Yeah, you know, they always demonizing Islam.
Well, quite right, too. They are demonic, that's why.
Well, Christians is just as demonic as Islamists. Matter of fact, I prefer...
No, your nation isn't threatened by Christianity right now. It's threatened by Islam, though. Which country are you going to flee to? Which country are you going to take refuge in?
I would flee to the country of my wife, Ghana. I've lived under Christianity.
You know, maybe you've got somewhere to go, provided they haven't taken over there as well.
Let me know. Can I talk now?
Sure.
All right, as I said before, I've lived under Christianity, and I've seen what Christians and listened, read the history and know the history of how it has lashed out against people just as well as people utilizing Islam. Islam is no worse than anything else. And as far as Jeff saying what Carter should have done with Iran, Iran has all the right in the world to exist as a sovereign nation and practice whatever it wishes. Thank you.
Now, the threat is much more serious at the moment from Islam than it is from Catholicism or any kind of Christianity. The threat to America anyway, I mean, unless you want to be living under Sharia, if you want to be, then it's not a threat. It's something which you would welcome.
I'm a United States citizen. I'm protected by a U.S. Constitution, which does not respect any religion whatsoever. As I said earlier, there's different aspects of Sharia. We have Sharia banks here in this country that's been operating for decades. And they do quite well.
Hmm. Yeah, there are little elements of Islam which actually are quite good. I have to say.
Just like there's elements of Christianity which is quite good too.
The intelligent man though would take the good bits and reject the bad bits. But you're not allowed to do that with Islam because if you criticize any aspect of it, you become someone who they will kill for doing so. So, you know, I mean, maybe Christians have done that in the past, but they certainly don't do it now in the United States.
Well, that's not true. United Kingdom, they still do it.
No, it's nonsense. I mean, if the fact that people are on the radio now saying anything against Islam would make them candidates for death, according to any Muslim that's hearing them and can identify them.
Well, when you go on Christian shows and say something against Christianity, they cut you off.
Well, cutting you off is one thing, but...
And the reason they can't put you to death is because you're on the other end of a line, maybe 100 miles away, so...
If a Muslim could figure out who you are, which hopefully they can't, because, you know... I wouldn't really want them coming after me. I'd be fearful. I'm fearful of criticizing Islam in public and having them know who I am because I know they do kill. That's what they do.
Well, you know, are you from Britain, correct?
Correct.
UK? Correct. Well, you know, I can understand the animosity that they have against Iran because they was kicked out of Iran after they went in and tried to take control of their national oil field. They had a right to do so.
Sorry. You understand why who was there?
Tony Blair made the statement that we must win out over fundamental Islam. He had no business making that statement. What is the win? What's the win out?
Well, I'm not a supporter of Tony Blair, but...
But he's a Christian.
The only thing you have to win out over, really, is not allowing them to take over your land and change the...
And they feel the same way, right?
Well,
look at Zimbabwe.
If they stayed within their own territories, then maybe you could have some kind of tolerance of it. I mean,
I agree with it.
The
the human rights violations and the abuses that they inflict, which is what the subject matter was.
Yeah,
was the violation of women. That's, you know, what the lady came on and spoke about for over an hour, which you didn't hear much of. But,
well, I've heard of them conversations before, and I don't.
Well,
the United States
one,
really
though.
Don't give too much credence to human rights anyway.
One.
Yeah, I missed that one. But you know, the UK does notorious things. Look what they do to Zimbabwe because of the way they want to protect their sovereignty. They don't want to be invaded, and so on and so on. So the UK has a history of doing those things. I see where you have protests now because you're getting ready to start up your nuclear weapons manufacturing again. What is that all about? You with people starving and hungry.
I don't know anything about it, but we've had nuclear weapons for a long time and still have and continue to have.
And Iran should have a right to have nuclear weapons also.
Well, maybe, but, you know, depends what they're going to use them for. It would be a concern if they're going to use them against us, wouldn't it? But,
we know that you won't use yours against them.
Well, they seem pretty hostile, you have to admit, but... Anyway, we are back.
I'm calling up to the top of the hour for the end of the day. Tomorrow we're going to have another guest on. We're going to be talking about a little bit of the same thing again. And I brought this to light because the more I find out about it, you know, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, but you can't say that you didn't hear it. Because you can't say, well, you know, Trey, you knew something and didn't tell us, because that won't be the case. And, you know, you don't have to do anything about what you hear about it, but you need to know that there is a move and there's a change going on in America that involves you indirectly, if not directly, that you may not know about.
Uh-huh.
And they're coming to infringe upon your rights, too. You just may not see it. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Today is May the 20th, and we're 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and Jeff and I are here in the studio. We got some people in the line. Into Knowledge, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tracy and Jeff. How are you all today?
Doing wonderful.
I can't complain.
Good. I started reading up on that Sharia law probably over a year ago. I started watching a lot of YouTube videos on it because there's a lot out there. One of the big proponents, or should I say advocates against it, is Anne-Marie Waters. She does a lot of good work in getting the information out and just educating people on what it is. I didn't really have a lot of comments. I thought it was good that you had the lady on because this seems to be one of those issues that's flying under the radar in the United States. And I guess it's just one of those things where if it doesn't affect us, we don't really give it a whole lot of attention. But it's kind of scary the way it's working its way into the judicial system as a viable means of them being able to institute this whole thing. And I just think it's kind of, I think it's really important that people educate themselves on it so they know what's really going on.
You know, I found out it's not what you don't know that hurts you. It's not what you know that hurts you. It's what you don't know. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on that you think you're supposed to know about that you don't have a clue about, and you have no idea. It doesn't even cross your mind on a given day because you're dealing with your own life.
Exactly.
You know, the thing that I'm seeing here is that, you know, we tend to not believe things, and we've gotten so into this political correctness, which I think is a wicked thought and idea. And I did say wicked. And the reason why I say wicked is this. When we go to over to Iran, we're governed by the laws of Iran while we're there. Am I correct?
When you want to go to China.
When you go to China, when you go to in between island where we're all you have all the trade of the of
Hong
the,
Kong?
No, not Hong Kong. It's
Turkey?
I can't think of it. I have to look up on the world.
Indonesia.
Close to Indonesia.
When you wherever you go
where the guy got caned, the young man got caned for messing up cars.
Don't go over there and trip.
You can't even chew gum, and you'll get caned for chewing gum in this place. It's a death sentence for selling drugs or trafficking in drugs.
Singapore.
Singapore, thank you. Thank you so much. And the thing is you can't mess around. I remember my sister going to Singapore, and she told me about how stringent it was, and I looked it up, of course, after to see what she was talking about, and sure enough, you know, these people are not playing around.
No.
But when you come here to the United States, we're bending over backwards to not offend anybody. I want to just take a big hand and just smack people down with it because it's like, you're just goofy. Offend whoever. This is our country. Put you on hold. Bianchi? Bianchi got you on hold?
No, that's not Bianchi.
Okay, go find him. Because that's that same music.
Alrighty.
I like it.
That's a pause.
Okay. Yep, it is. How could you not find it? There
it was
is.
Into knowledge.
Okay.
It was into knowledge, not the...
Wow. Nice little groove there. I like that.
The number is 347-945-5229. I'm just amazed.
Back up. Don't forget.
We don't know what we are... how we're being played. I want to play a clip because I want you guys to hear this because the Mandy, she brought up this person. She brought up this the senator, and she is a Democrat senator. And this Democrat senator is supposed to be fighting for the rights of women. Her name is Barbara Mikulski.
We have to vote on a motion to proceed on whether we're going to take it up. And because this is now going to require a 60-vote majority, because of the invocation of this fog of filibuster, we can't even get to a majority vote on how to make sure women get equal pay for equal work. No wonder people are fed up with us. They wonder about us why, when all is said and done,
this is the same woman that she went to with the same issue.
We heard this morning.
And they wouldn't even take a meeting with her.
The economy. You know, one way to help the economy is for people to make more money. Now, I'll tell you what I'm tired of hearing.
This is the same woman,
another,
same lady, talking
talk.
About, it's emotional,
you know,
when we talk. She is all about this. And this is where I find, you know, okay, I'm all for equal pay for equal job and equal women. I'm all for that. But you got to do it all. You just can't pick and choose. Okay, we're going to do pay, but we won't do, you're going to get cut.
What
Uncle Carl, Local call, your mic is on. Yes, Steve, how are you this morning?
That was Diva that was trying to get in touch.
Huh?
I said that music, I think that was Diva.
That wasn't Diva.
That was not Diva.
Diva's trying to get married.
What?
You missed your opportunity, Steve.
Congratulations.
You know, Tracy.
I wasn't born yet. Only you and Tracy were here.
Tracy was kind of young. She was a little.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Steve.
You were preteen. I was a. I was about 17 when that song came out.
Steve, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about you told me that Diva is getting married.
Oh, God.
Steve, hang up the phone. Hang up. Yeah, Pionki.
You know, I heard you say that you mentioned equal pay for equal job. Well, it can't be
Absolutely.
That way. It should
Why?
Be equal pay for equal work, equal
well,
output.
That's what I meant.
And I've seen,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand. But see, I've seen women own jobs that they couldn't put out the same as a man, but they want the same pay. So the lady in the news clip did mention equal pay for equal work, or should we say output.
But listen to what I'm saying. Right now, in 2014, today, May the 20th, the today is a huge primary day in several swing states across
right.
the country. And you hear a whole lot of jibber-jabber about equality. They want to make sure the vote is not suppressed. They want to make sure that they want to make sure that the equal work goes for equal pay. They want to make sure that gays have all their rights. Yet you've got women who are getting cut at a young age in the United States of America.
Genital mutilation.
Before they are of the age of accountability, they're making decisions for these children. When I say cut, I'm not talking about, you know, getting circumcised. I'm talking about they're getting cut up. And they're doing it in the name of Sharia law. The mothers cannot speak out against it, or they will be up for death. And it's all about doing honor to Sharia, or honor to Allah, or honor to their name and honor to their family.
Crazy.
And the people that know about this, such as the senator here, is not saying anything about it because it's not popular, nor does she want, and it has no money behind it, and it's not a part of the talking notes. So you can't have a liberal agenda who's going to free all the women unless you're going to free all the women. You can't free some and not free all.
And especially the ones that are getting killed for being women. That's the key. You got that Sandra Fluck. And the liberals went crazy over Sandra Fluck.
She could run for office. I think.
Well, yeah, she could run for office. And here goes Sandra Fluck. Hasn't done a doggone thing for anybody, but she cried. Well, when I was in college, I couldn't afford birth control. And this, that. If you can't afford, I bet you drank beer. I bet you went and bought your pizza. So I guess what? I think you could afford yourself $10 a month to pay for your birth control, your own birth control, without everybody else having to take part in your lifestyle.
What did you say, Eric?
Let the guy you're sleeping with pay your birth control.
Thank you.
No, you can't. No, you can't ask him to pay. You guys are just messing up.
Yeah,
it's the American people need to pay. You know that.
That's right. Yeah. So we're dead here, but you know, you hear what we're saying.
And tomorrow we'll do this again because I'm bringing another person on who's going to talk about some of the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
So because this is a very very deep issue that is just not being brought to the attention of the American people. And it's happening in a place near you. And we don't want to say file because it's not an easy file.
The true war on women is the war on women that is being waged by the leftist people in this country and the progressives, and I hate to say the National Democrats. They are the ones that have the real war on women. And this is what they're doing to you on this equal pay thing, though.
But see, it's all about power.
Yeah.
What was that song that said it's all about the? It's all about something that ain't nothing funny? People don't understand this is a game. This is a game.
But it's a huge game.
And you are playing in it and don't realize it.
Let me say something to you about the wage that they're telling you about, though, the women's wages.
Yeah.
There are too many jobs that I know of, unless they're in private companies, that where if you are a laborer, that you get paid less money than the man
working the same job.
I just don't see that.
Jeff, let me say this to you. As a woman, there are jobs.
You got to show that
to me. Jeff, let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
There are jobs
mm-hmm.
that you will go in and do the same job as me. And when we say private companies that do not have a union force.
Okay.
And they can be labor jobs. They can be professional jobs. It can be jobs in management.
Okay.
If you and I were going for the same management job, they may give you $5,000 more than me, not based upon experience, but just based upon the gender bond. And I know you say, well, maybe not, because
I don't believe that.
I know that you don't believe that.
Yeah.
There are musicians. There are musicians that are just as good as male musicians and women musicians, and they go in for the same job, and they will actually pay them, women, less money. Absolutely. So they'll pay you $50 a week or $50 an hour, and they'll pay me $40.
Well,
and I'm just saying, you know, well, it's not like, because what you have to realize, we don't go out, we've always been taught, you don't compare your checks. Just the same as there are African-American people who get paid less than their white counterparts in jobs. It is what it is, and we don't try to, what's your check? How much did you get paid an hour? How much did you get paid an hour? Yes and no. But then no one's talking about contract workers at General Motors versus General Motors workers doing the same job, getting paid substantially less money either.
No, they're not.
And they don't want to talk about that.
No.
Because you got people at General Motors on the line, and some of them are contract workers, and they're making $20 an hour, and you've got people who are contract workers who are making $7 an hour or $10 an hour or $15 an hour, which is $5, with no benefits or limited benefits.
Yeah, differentials.
Right.
Here's the thing. If they didn't mess with labor so much, you wouldn't have this problem.
That may be true, but we're just talking about it is what it is. And so you said, well, it's not true, but I can name some folks. And if you want to go into private industry, because remember, everybody's trying to save a dollar, and women are a little bit more passive when it comes to seeing their self-worth and actually be willing to walk away from the deal.
The administration sized up the state of Ohio, of course, because Kasich is, you know, doing great things right here and confounding them. Well, here it is that they came into the state, and what they did to show the differential of who was getting paid more is they took all the female laborers or people working and took all the male people that were working, and they added up the two, what they were making, you know, how much money they were bringing in. And then that's how they got this so many dollars per hour difference that the women make versus the men. And it's not a true number. And that's why I'm saying it exists in a different place.
But what I'm saying to you is my problem is that they're politicizing something that should not be politicized the way that they're politicizing it. But I'm not going to say some of the cases they're actually talking about when it comes to gender inequality of pay, yes, sometimes that does work, and it is real. But what I'm saying is, overall, it should not be a political issue. See, they're politicizing the issue based upon their own agenda, not based upon they care about the women that are not getting paid. Because it will never
trickle
down.
What about that last issue we was working on, Tracy?
What?
What about the last issues that we worked on? The most recent is disparity in sentiment between blacks and whites. Who's that sitting by the roadside?
I don't know.
you know, somebody needs to put up their...
Somebody hitchhiking?
No. That's all right. They only hitchhiking for a few minutes. Who's that?
So we, so we have unfinished issues, like the one I just mentioned. Here's people wanting you to jump onto another one.
Because remember, it's bait and switch. You know, I got to get you moving. It's a moving target. You know what I mean?
And I like what you said. Why can't we not put an emphasis on the fact that black workers doing the same thing as white workers, same output and sometimes more, is not being paid the same?
Let me say this. I have, you know, whether we be, let me say it this way. Where we fail is that's Bonnie. Where we fail is they do a bait and switch. They keep your focus here so you're not focused over here. And so they go where the trend is, and they see that women are now the trend of the vote, so they're baiting you over here so that they can get you excited. Because remember, 4 years ago, it was all about putting y'all back in chains. This year, it's going to be all about your money and your pocket. So we're going to scare you and tell you that the Republicans and the conservatives don't want to pay you more money because they don't want to give you an increase of minimum wage, and they don't want women to make the equal amounts as men. So we want you to understand that they're not for you, so you got to come over here and vote for us. And they do anything to fear you and to scare you into their agenda, because their agenda brings money and power to them, not to you. Just like we are not fared better as African Americans in our way under the Obama administration. We are not doing any better under the President Obama than we've done, and as a matter of fact, we're doing worse. But you can't get people of color to understand that. They don't believe it.
Well, you know, you had a person on earlier that was from the UK, and talking to blacks in the UK, blacks are treated like third class, fourth class, fifth class citizens in the UK. So why is there not a outcry of boycott and sanctions because of the human rights violations that they're experiencing? Where was it in Europe where they was chanting a black elected parliament official and corresponding her with being a chimpanzee or a monkey or something? I think that was in Ireland. But, you know, if you're going to have, like you say, if we're going to have a smooth spread across the board, let's have a smooth spread across the board. Let's don't have any lumps here, there, and everywhere.
But you got to think about that, Pianki. The problem is you've got to think about that. You've got to know that. You've got to realize you've been played. And the problem is people don't realize they're being played. That's the problem is they don't have a clue. They fall into a hook, line, and sinker every time the lights come on. And so you've got all these memorable moments on MSNBC when they don't have places for advertising. They push this agenda. CNN, everywhere you go, you don't have Fox News on, you don't have MSNBC, you don't have Bloomberg TV, you don't have, you know, the Weather Channel, you have CNN on. And they push their agenda. So even if you're not watching news, we're going to push our agenda on you subliminally so that you'll follow us where we want you to go, whether we like you or not. And as long as I can give you a tidbit of information to make you feel, because you're sitting down somewhere and more than likely you're broke, you're trying to get things, you're trying to get ahead, gas has gone up, skyrocketed, you don't know what to do with your next payment, your water's getting ready to cut off, and no money's coming in, and they're going to tell you that somebody is getting you, and they blame one party against another and tell you, don't think about it because I've done the work for you. And they lie. Hey, Bonnie, I thought you were sitting in a chair listening to us. What did you do? You went outside?
I actually think this is our redneck, Tracy.
Hey, redneck, how are you, darling?
Yeah, pretty good. I know on the gender pay gap part of it, as they were talking,
yeah.
I heard one time another station, a headhunter called in. He said, I hate to agree with the host, the libertarian host, but he said what he found the difference was, when it comes to pay, there were three questions. Women asked, do you have flex time? How much time do I get off? Can get off for family issues. what's your health insurance like? Guys ask, how much am I going to get paid? No, seriously, how much am I going to get paid? Then they ask, what are the benefits? It depends on, like, what the, if the guy is single or married, what the benefits he asks about. Because that seemed to be a lot of the difference.
Pretty much. I believe that. They say the reason why women don't get paid is because they don't value themselves enough to ask for it, and they're not willing to walk away from the deal.
That sounds pretty good, too. But the thing that really made me want to call in, for Steve, everybody else, you know, AM600 used to not be good. You used to not listen to Tracy and Friends and good stuff. It used to be radio euthanasia for the hospice folks. And keep the more modern songs playing, you know, like 1980, at least 1970 on, please. I mean, it's...
Thank you.
It's nice when you know, like, okay, we played something, you know, not so blind, heard, you know, way back when he was in college or Mark, but there's the oldie station, you know, like Sunday morning when they really dig up the old stuff, you know. Let's, I like this stuff better.
Well, we're special.
Yeah. I said at least 1970, preferably start,
you know,
the 80s, the 90s, 2000s.
You know what that means? We're now the generation that listens to the old music, and the old music is not our grandparents. The old music is us.
I listen to, you know, I guess the mixtape went out of Canton. It's like, wait a minute, this sounds like the new wave stuff is popular when I was like a 10-year-old kid. This is a new song. Oh, God, this is, I'm getting old.
We are the new old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
And guess what? We're the short bus of talk radio right now. But that's okay. We're special.
But we try to bring you the best that we got.
Absolutely. We try to bring you stuff that nobody else is going to talk about.
That's,
you know,
right.
And they're not going to talk about it with any depth because we're doing a little more than just entertaining. We are entertaining, and you know, you see us cut up in here, and, you know, we act up and some things. But we're trying to bring real issues so that people can grasp and start really thinking. If you have these things happening that are affecting you and you don't realize.
Listen, I've got to thank you guys for coming in for today. We are done for the day. I'll leave the lines on if you guys want to stay here and have a conversation. Look, I think Internology is, you guys, the mics are all on if you want to stay on. I've got to go because we'll see you tomorrow. 6 and I'll be here tomorrow. Dr. Danielle's going to stop in tomorrow morning. And we appreciate you. Have a blessed day and be safe out there. And guess what? I didn't play happy and
well,
the sun's not up.
Great. Welcome, England.
Hey, welcome, Oscar.
Many thanks.
Oh, is anybody on the line?
Well, I'm still here, but I guess we're gone, aren't we?
Yeah, I just want to know who else was on the line. Pianchi hung up?
No, I'm still around. Multitask.
See, if women in America allowed men to carry on and carry on without fighting back, we'll be going through the same things those women are doing. Because men are idiots, you know? Men ruin the world. Whenever they rule anything, they ruin the world. So
that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
That's what men do.
Yeah, you miss
it. Why don't you swing around on poles for men then?
Say what? That's that woman's business. Nothing wrong with it. I don't have nothing against nobody stripping.
Well,
those women become
ignorant?
Hold on, wait. Those women love that attention. You got to understand. See, this is the mentality of a lot of men out here. They believe the woman is supposed to be saved. And that's what the whole Cinderella, Rapunzel, all these fairy tale stories always show a woman being saved by a man. And as long as women keep that mentality up, this is how we have the situation that we have here now. Mother Earth don't need to be saved. Everybody want to save Mother Earth. She don't need to be saved. She could take care of herself. Same thing with the woman. So until we get out of that type of mentality, speaking for women, then we are, and men understand he's here to wed with the woman, not to control her and save her, then we can get out of this. We see it all the time in the movies.
Okay, well, the next time the evil Dick Dastardly captures you, we'll leave it up to you to make the escape by yourself, shall we?
Ain't nobody going to capture me. I'm not going to attract that vibration to me. I'm not worried about that because I'm not going to attract that vibration. My thing is, okay, it's a mental thing. I understand these women in other countries, they don't have the control or this and that. All right. But I'm talking about for us here in America, because this woman gets mad at American women and what we're fighting for. But
she wasn't that mad at American women, to be honest with you. If you listen to her, she was a little bit disappointed.
I got what she was disappointed about. But what I'm saying is, what she has to understand is our situation here, is, even though it seems extreme, it's not so different. It's still men controlling women. It's still the same subject.
Not to the same extent, though. Come on, not keeping them in the house, forbidding them from talking to anyone, this kind of thing. It's nowhere near as bad as that.
Well, that goes on in America, believe it or not. You got men who
in amongst Muslims, maybe.
Wait a minute, hold on. You got a man right now named Reverend Phil Valentine or whatever, and he's advocating about women getting their clitoris and all this stuff coming on. This is someone in America.
Let me appeal to you like this, Anissi. I think, and this is just what I got from listening to her, is that American women have a voice in their country that's unique to women of any other country in the world.
Cool.
Everything you're saying is true. However, in this country, women can actually speak out and affect change, whereas in a lot of these other countries, that's not even an option.
Right.
So I think she was coming more from that angle, not in the sense that she wants American women to do anything in particular other than exercise the very thing that they say that they fought for, that they say that they're in it for, and their reasons for doing what it is that they do. I think she just wants to see that done across the board.
Where, in America?
But this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm an American woman, and I would love to help this woman, okay? I would love to help her and her family, the children. I would love to. But what can I do if chances is that I can die and lose my own family? What can I
where
do?
Where is this lady at? How you going to lose your own family? Where is this lady at?
She's here in America.
Well, how are you going to lose your family in the United States helping somebody? People do it all the time. If she's an American citizen, she's protected by the United States Constitution.
But no, listen to what she said. There's the Shahara law. There are men that are able to hurt, do whatever they want to do, and fled back to their country. And I'm saying, as an American woman, what do you
like Bin Laden? I guess.
What exactly do you want me to do to help the Shahara law and to help these women get out of it? What do you want us to do?
Well, why don't she just go to the local police department?
Oh, shit.
Well, isn't that an option? What are you going to do? If you go there, what you going to do? You're going to go to the local police department, am I right?
That's why I say that it's...
No, answer that question. Am I right? If you went there, wherever she is in the United States, and you seen something going on that's in violation of her civil rights, the first thing you're going to do is pick up the phone and call the local police department.
Basically.
Am I right?
Right, but it's all mental. And I hear what the brother in the background is saying. American women, we do have a voice. We do have something about us that the people will listen. And I agree. But if it's this serious as everyone's talking, my question to that woman is, what do you want us to do? What could American women do if we can all gather up, and not just American women, American men too, to gather up for you and your people? What the hell do you want us to do?
But you said a key word. Go ahead there, Oscar.
Well, try to stop the movement towards that situation becoming the norm throughout the entire country, because that's the direction it's going in. once they get to the stage where they are in a majority, then they will take over completely, change everything to Sharia in the way that they've done in huge and other huge areas across the globe. And then whereas maybe now, if you're a victim of murder, you can go to the police department and have the bloke arrested. When they get what they want to achieve, you won't be able to do that anymore. And the thing is that no one seems to be willing to speak out to do anything to halt that movement in that general direction. Because if you start speaking out to say, well, we've got to stop this, we've got to move the trend back towards American culture and the Islamic culture spread has to be prevented. So if you say that, you are banded an extremist, a racist, a bigot, whatever, and you're smeared with all those kind of insults and told to shut your mouth and just let it all happen.
Okay, so could I label it?
Well, first thing, you said something earlier, Minty. Address this. You said it was mental. Then if these women have psychological problems, the average U.S. citizen don't want to get involved in that. They need to be sitting on the couch of a shrink.
I was about to say, This is what I'm saying. If I could use this example, the color purple, she was an American citizen, and she lived in a time where men dominated women, correct? And she was sold by her father, who molested her, and to another man at the age of 12, 13 years old. And that man beat her. So mentally, she was broken down from the start. And she didn't fight back until what? She got older, right? But the point is, it was how she thought. Some people could say, oh, she could have just left. She could have ran away. She could have just did what she wanted to do. But that's perception. You understand what I'm saying? And the same thing goes with these women that's going in these situations. If her situation is that deadly, that's all I'm saying, and you're asking me and my friends and my group to help you, I'm asking you, what do you want me to do? How can we help you? How may I help you? That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, first thing is that states in the United States are sovereign. And they can implement, or they can include within their their lawmaking aspects of foreign laws from any place around the world. But you have had some states in America, Oklahoma, Arizona, Missouri, my state did, but the governor vetoed it because he said it would threaten international adoption. They have passed what's called these foreign law bills. And they're saying that a court cannot implement any foreign laws in their decision-making. But you have had federal courts to come out and say that the single out Sharia is unconstitutional. You just can't single out Sharia without singling out other foreign laws that is being implemented in the decision-making of judges in U.S. courts.
So why didn't the woman – this is why I wish the lady stayed on the line, because I want to know why didn't that – so-called woman respond to her when she was talking, when she tried to talk to her. I want to know why did that woman
the
not
senator.
Huh?
You mean the senator?
Right, she the said, senator. I wanted to know why she didn't,
because she's a leftist and it doesn't fit in with the template of her political agenda when she's a leftist to be required to condemn Islam. If you can't do that if you're in that political sphere. You can't speak out against anyone apart from non-leftists. They're the only people that you're allowed to attack. If you're seen as attacking Muslims, you are falling outside of the way left-wing people operate. They just don't do that.
In your country, you can't speak out against Jews. It's a punishment, isn't it? Well, to make some reference against the Holocaust is not a legitimacy of it.
You can speak out against pretty much anything, so long as it's not like an incitement to violence or something like that. I mean, you can express an opinion.
I know somebody in Argentina is real strict out there. He about saying anything about Jewish people or whatever.
And that's another point. Look how Jews have infiltrated the U.S. system, justice system. Look how they have through their lobbying through AIPAC, which is funded. And I think from aid that goes to Israel filters its way back into these lobbying organizations like AIPAC and used to buy off U.S. politicians in order for favorable things for Israel. So you got a tremendous, I mean, you got Jewish elements throughout all of the United States. NBA team ownership. I mean, you just can't name one. You can name thousands of them. So how are you going to single out Sharia?
She ran off the phone too fast, and
she was on for over an hour. Come on, you can't. I mean, it's unusual for a guest to be on that long on a radio show.
What you say, into?
I was going to say that Judaic law goes hand in hand with Christianity, so it's kind of hard to be a country that espouses the morals and the ethics of Christianity and not have Judaic law. That you can't do that.
Well, it is too. But if that's the case, if you want to talk about female circumcision, well, how about when rabbis circumcise a baby boy, then he sucked the blood off their penis? In some cases, the babies have contracted herpes.
It's the same thing.
And how they're promoting it in the hospitals real heavy about circumcision. And you got people who not even know anything about it that's trying to promote their family. Like, oh, you need to get your son circumcised, you know?
Then they just want to spread it around the country. Like they saying that it prevents HIV, and you got grown men going in, being put under the knife.
No.
Yeah, but that just goes to show that people need to take their either religious beliefs or religious ideologies a lot more seriously than they do. Because you have way too many people who either directly or indirectly buy into this. They advocate it either by participation or even just being a guilty by association. And then you have things like this that happen with the priests, and the same thing with the Sharia law and the, you know, messing with the genitalia. All of this stuff gets ordained by said God, and then all of a sudden people start practicing it. That's ridiculous.
And you know something into, what are you going to do, tell people that you are permit to immigrate into the United States, to leave their culture at the borders?
You can come in. You shouldn't be allowed to try and impose your cultural views and values in a legal way, no matter what country you go to. So me as an American, if I go to another country, yeah, I should be able to practice my cultural beliefs. However, I shouldn't be in a position where I'm trying to impose that on the general public.
But this lady is talking about what's going on among family members. I think she was talking about it. I didn't hear it, but I've heard other conversations along these particular lines. She was talking about what was going on amongst the members of her family, members of her group.
Right.
Just like Oscar was saying, when you have a situation where you let it come in, you don't do anything, and then you let it infiltrate your system, the next time you look around, you got stuff going on, and you're like, damn, how did this happen?
But how would you stop it? You know, immigrants, we have immigrants in my neighborhood, Nigerians, that's mirrors, I know of two. So wherever they come from, they come with an influence of the environment that they came from. And it would be imposed in the decisions that they make. If they sit in at judgeships, it would be imposed. It would be included in the sentences that they hand down, and so on and so on and so on. We have Nigerians, Ethiopians in the public schools, some I've sponsored, talked highly of. And, of course, wherever they come from, they're going to bring elements of that environment that they was exposed to. It's going to follow them. You cannot tell them to leave it at the borders.
But at the same time, in New York City, these people have their own schools, their own neighborhoods. A lot of times they're separated from us in the public school. You may see a public school where you see one or two children who's wrapped up or the mom is wrapped up or something, but there are schools out here just for people of certain religions in New York City. You understand what I'm saying? So
they have them here too, Minty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I remember Jeff was making a comment, and I'm like, no, that won't be forced on us like that, because, you know, it's very separated here. Especially,
we have an area here that has 80,000 Bosnian refugees. When you drive into their area, you know you're in something different. from where you just drove out of. So, yes, these people bring, and you cannot tell them to leave their culture at their door. You invite them into the country for a whole host of reasons.
Anybody should be able to practice anything, but it shouldn't be promoted. Once you let it work its way, and once you let it work its way into your legal system, nobody's saying that you shouldn't be able to practice it. Practice it. Practice it amongst your own. But
I totally agree with him. Like, you know, to try to advocate it, enforce it amongst other people, and knocking on people's door, you know, like a vampire. You know, it's just it, no. I totally agree with him.
But suppose a member of that ethnic group shows up in a U.S. court. Now, they have their own particular beliefs and ideologies. And, I mean, as I said before, you can't make them leave it at the border. So how do you handle that? You know, you can go to court and you can plead ignorance of the law. I mean, I've seen people brought into court over a tax issue, and they wasn't paying taxes. Well, it was their belief that they didn't have to pay taxes. That was a legal defense.
Right.
So what happens when you have someone from these particular groups show up with that type of defense based on their ideology of where the environment that they come from?
Okay, good.
Well, part of that is the reason why you do need a sensible immigration policy to prevent these kind of situations arising, because what you ask is a good question when you're confronted with these situations where people have their cultural norms which are different from yours. What do you do? Of course, there are. I mean, you have a legal framework, you have laws, as you were sort of pointing out, that if someone's doing something which is unlawful, then you can bring the police and the criminal justice system in and you can take action against them in that way. But you can arrive at a situation where they are so prolific in number that loads and loads of them have come in and transformed your society, that before long the legal system itself becomes changed, and then it becomes acceptable to do the things that
they do. But you know what happens, Oscar? Mm. Then you have the backlash when your citizens try to go in their country. They would impose the same sort of backlash, and that's where the breakdown comes in. Your politicians want your citizens, and it really is not the common citizen. They want certain elements of the United States to get into these other countries, more or less as corporate interests, whereas they can do what they want to do.
One thing I noticed in the South is when I was growing up, and still to this day, the certain parts of the South is not very religious tolerant. And I found that out there, people had a harder time. The Jewish, the Muslim, okay, take care, Galactic, and Jewish and the Muslim had a harder time in, you know, the Bible Belt areas practicing their stuff as opposed to up north or other places where it's more freedom.
Yeah, you're right. You go to North Carolina, you're in a whole different religious surrounding.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say, like, there's, like, other places that won't tolerate it. Like, okay, we don't tolerate other religions here. This is what we're Christian with, this, with that, but we don't tolerate this.
And that's against the law.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I see places like that where people from other countries have a harder time as opposed, to being up north in those places where people can practice whatever religious beliefs that they want to practice, to a point they can build their own schools, their own neighborhoods. There's Catholic people that they have their own gated communities if you're Catholic. And
would you rather be in North Carolina or Iran?
Say it again?
Would you rather be in North Carolina or Iran?
I'd rather, of course, be in America, North Carolina.
But if you allow the Muslims to proliferate, you're moving towards what happened in Iran. Pianki, you didn't seem to realize that woman that was on, she is a refugee. She's not an American citizen. She's a refugee from Iran who was driven out of a land that wasn't Islamic and has become Islamic. It's been taken over by the Islamists, and it's been made into a strict Sharia Islamic place where people like her would be killed if she didn't flee. And that's why she's in America, and that's why she's saying the stuff that she's saying right now, because she's trying to alert people to the dangers of the spread of Islam for anyone who believes in freedom and people who believe that, you know, people have got the right to do the things that they want to do and that women are equal to men and this sort of thing.
Well, you know, Oscar, I see hypocrisy working both sides of the street because you never hear of any one coming to the United States of a refugee who's pro from a country that's pro talking to the government of that country. They usually invite the ones, especially entertainers, who start singing songs and playing music against the government, which is not a pro-American government. So you can work both sides of the street with that argument.
Man, she has. I want that woman to come back on. Like I heard everything she was saying and everything, but it's like I still pose that question. What does she want us to do? You know, like. What can we do? That's all I can say. You know,
she need to go to the local police if it's all about what it sounds like it is.
But it's deeper than the police because, you know, this is all, it's all something there. And I'm saying this because, for example, my old job, the Indian women would come in there with their strollers, right? And mm-hmm. the woman would stand beside the water bottle, and she would look at me and say that she wanted water, and she would point to the water bottle. And I would look at the bee like she was crazy. Like, I'm not going to you to get the water bottle, but there must be something in their culture where the women are treated a certain way. You understand what I'm saying? That she believes that she comes here, and she's going to get treated that same kind of way. So what I'm trying to say is these women have a mentality from coming from those countries and those cultures, especially if they're born into it, that they feel like there's no way out of it.
Well, I don't think they would. They can't feel that there's no way out of it because they stand next to a water cooler in the United States.
Oh, shit. But you have to understand this is how brainwashed these women are. These women
it's are not necessary. It's not necessary brainwashing. What do you say about the American woman that show up in Dubai in a department store with Daisy Dukes on and knowing good as well that that is a violation of the dress code in that society? Is that brainwashing?
When you say Daisy Dukes, is her butt cheeks exposed?
Absolutely, Daisy Dukes.
Well, I mean, that's on that woman. That's on that grown woman that's walking in the store like that.
And when she get locked up and put in, you know, in whatever their system for detaining people who demonstrate that sort of behavior, then all of a sudden it's, you know, it goes from women's rights to this, that, and the other. Even the women speak out against that. So, you know, it's all about respect.
No, I totally agree with that. So I do think the dressing, I can say something about that. I understand some women are liberated about how they dress, and I'm a grown woman and I have children, and I'm very mindful of how I dressed than when I was 20. And I was mindful then, but you know, I was 20. I was like size zero, so, you know, my whole thing
size
is...
Size zero.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, so my whole thing is, it's about common sense. And I do think that some people take it a little too far, and it needs to be some type of laws to step in and say, you know, miss, this is a little bit inappropriate. You know what
like
I'm saying?
Like Rihanna. Rihanna was in Ireland doing a naked shoot, nudist shoot on some guy's farm. He agreed to it, and when he looked over and seen it, he ran him off the property.
You probably didn't know it was going to be those kind of pictures.
Right.
But that's the point I'm making. I hear women liberation, women should dress how they want to. I understand that. But I do think sometimes it goes too far. I do think with children, that's a whole other topic. Even with some of these young girls, I think that they're dressed too grown. Like, I can go on with that topic right there. So I can say I agree with you. And if they're having a law with Daisy Dukes in Alabama, well, then I applaud them for it.
Right. And, you know, actually, Amanda, when we heard whites say, mostly whites anyway, say, I want my country back. Well, blacks was basically saying the same thing. They wasn't saying it just as loud. Because the things that we see going on in our community with the way the women dress, the way the boys wear their men wear their pants, hanging down all below their butt, and so on and so on and so on. We remember a time when that was not commonplace, and we want that portion, we want that aspect of the past back right now.
Right. I mean, it's worse. I mean, it's worse because they're wearing tight pants and they're sagging.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, we wanted them to stop sagging. We wanted the sagging to completely stop. And then now they're wearing tight pants and they're sagging in the tight pants. It's like, so what do we do now?
Oh yeah, I've seen that before.
It's a little, to me, that is a little bit more provocative. Because not only are they're wearing the tight pants, because, you know, when you wear tight stuff, it shows your curves, you know, it shows your body more, but they're not sagging. They're sagging all the way down, even in the front of the boxer. And it's, to me, it's like it's a little bit of, like, almost public nudity in a way.
Same-sex marriage. A morning after children, your daughter is in there. I can't tell how old she is, but you wouldn't want your daughter having access to the morning after pill and without your knowledge?
Oh, no. My baby's six.
but that's the law nowadays. They can do that.
Right.
So I want my country back.
Wait. Hold on. Wait now. Before then, when I was growing up, you can go to the clinic to get birth control without your mother knowing. You could do that. I don't know.
And is that not is that not promoting promiscuity?
Yeah, because it's teaching, if the parent has not talked to the child about that, it's not even promiscuity, but it's also promoting, you're not going to be responsible if you're not careful. You're not going to be responsible.
You're absolutely right.
Because the pill says, if you're young like that, you're just thinking, oh, I just can't get pregnant. But you're not
so
responsible.
So that lady that was on, you know, I could look at her in a number of ways. You know, I could say that she's selfish because she wants only a certain aspect of what women should be or should not be doing to be addressed as it applies to her. While we just got through talking in the last 15 minutes of a whole host of things.
Right.
That we find wrong.
Right. And I'm saying this because I'm like, for her to be like, oh, American women are just fighting this and that. And I'm like, I hear what she's saying, but does she not realize it's just the same thing? The same thing we're fighting, saying something about. The point is these are men trying to control us, and we're not allowing ourselves to be controlled. But that's
you're talking about saggy pants, and she was talking about honor killings.
Who's my who?
Well, we talk about abortions. This, you know, when at what point in time do the man that helped make the baby, should he not be included in the decision too?
Here's my opinion. It's funny, Galactic Lab. This is my opinion. For people who are irresponsible and having flings and the baby comes out, that's on them what happens with that child because it's already not a relationship there. Now, for people who are in a relationship, a committed relationship, and the woman says she doesn't want the child and the man said that he does, I mean, that would be something that those two people would need to settle amongst one another. But unfortunately, if she says she doesn't want the child, there's nothing he can do. But I would say that that's something that the two people in a relationship would need to settle. But for
and
people
you know
who,
another thing, if that lady gets killed here under the pretense of honor killing, that's murder. That has nothing to do with honor killing. That's straight out murder within the boundaries of the United States, and the person would be punished.
No, I don't disagree with abortion. If a woman does not want to keep a child, there are women who have been raped, who have incest. I know a woman who had an incestual situation, and she had a baby out of it, and she never talked about it. I think she aborted it or lost it, one of those. She was in another country. And you have women that are on medication, and they're on medication so bad that they cannot have children. Now, for the women who are just out there aborting and not taking any responsibility as a full birth control, then those women are the ones that need to be addressed. But for a woman who, like myself, who's on, like, baby number three, if I decided I don't want to keep this child, then I just don't want to keep that child.
Why come you didn't apply to safeguards to make sure you didn't come pregnant? You just can't have sex unprotected. Or should I say going bareback?
Oh, no.
You know you're going to get pregnant.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean
And at what point... At what point did that become detrimental to your health, you know, abortion after abortion after abortion?
No, I'm talking about responsibility, because I know women out here who since high school have been just be getting abortion. And I thought that you could not get no more than four abortions, and so the doctor said you can abort as much as you want to. But at the same time, I know a female who got abortions from when she was younger till now that she had to keep the son that she had because the doctors told her she had got so many abortions. So I don't know. But I'm just saying that it takes responsibility. But for a woman who's in a relationship with a man and she decides, you know, hey, I don't want to carry another child, that's that woman's choice. But I can't speak for the women who are using abortion as birth control. I can't speak for them.
Anyway, I have to go, folks. Nice to talk to you all. See you soon.
Take care.
Okay, Oscar. Have a nice day.
And Rihanna, oh my gosh, I don't even, my daughter's six. I don't even allow her to, look at certain things. She can maybe listen to certain music and stuff, but I keep her as a kid. I don't really have her watching too much stuff. Like, she was watching Hannah Montana, and there's nothing wrong with Hannah Montana. You know, my little sister watched Hannah Montana, but I told her to watch something else, you know. She just started watching it so much. I was just like, no, time for you to watch something else.
Well, you know, I can understand where Rihanna is coming from. She's trying to build up herself and become come stable, self-dependent. I can understand that. But, you know, at the same time, she must understand that she has to respect other people's and their views and their customs.
Absolutely. Yeah, she is a little reckless. She went somewhere, I think Dubai somewhere, and she dressed up all wrapped up. It was a hot outfit. But they were just completely offended, like, you know, keep your trash in America or Caribbean or wherever you're from. So, you know, but the thing about Rihanna is, unfortunately, I'm going to have to say that it's sad what it has come to with a lot of our female artists, especially like with Beyonce and stuff, because, and even like with Miley Cyrus, because these women, you know, especially Miley Cyrus, like, she does not even have to do what she's doing. She's choosing to do all that, and she's young on top of that, so, you know. But I just feel kind of bad. Like, these women, is this what they have to do to talk about women liberation? Are you kidding me? You know, Brandy and Monica have to do that? You know, like, let's think about this. And even to this day, if you look at Brandy and Monica, they're mothers, and they carry themselves a certain kind of way. You know, it is really sad to me. And how do you call Beyonce a feminist? How do you call her for woman's liberation? What are you talking about? This is madness. So that's just my opinion.
Well, we live in a diverse society, and within that diversity lies a market that everyone wants to try. I should not say everyone, but people want to exploit and try to get the greatest benefit out of that market in order to further their cause and their self-being. And that's exactly what you're seeing going on. That's America. America is wide open. Anything can happen. Anything goes in America.
So that's true. Everybody comes here. You know, I just think I don't judge what other people do. That's what they do. But for me, being a mom, I still monitor a lot of things with my child because I can do that. Baby's 6 years old. I got little son, so I can do that. So that's what I do, you know. I don't, is there certain things I just like, you know what, my baby's 6 years old. She doesn't need to be exposed to all that, you know.
I was reading an article about the, which I, you know, they always did have it, but they had it in a less formal manner. It was practiced in a less formal manner, and that's polygamy in Kenya. Kenya's parliament has voted polygamy, and women groups have came out in support of it. So you see around the world, especially in African countries, where there are rewriting and revisions made of their constitution to protect themselves, to protect their traditions, protect their cultures, of what they observe going on in the United States. And because they know that sooner or later it would be a bargaining tool in future recommendations of future consideration of aid or any type of treaty, United States likes to impose some of the, what have been classified as ills by some and has been classified as progressive by others onto other developing nations.
The thing is, that's the choice of any woman who wants to do that, honestly. We first, as people, need to learn to get along as people, first of all, before we bring anybody else into in our home. We can't even...
Now you should respect other people.
Respect other... We don't even get along as people. Some people don't even like people. And then you're talking polygamy? Are you kidding me? So that's the thing that I see with that. You know, it is one thing when you have a culture who's united in understanding and people can get along. And there's another when you have America who's neurotic, who's selfish, who don't like people, who complains about everything. Really, polygamy? Are you? And that's just my perception of it. Me personally.
Where did into knowledge go?
Huh?
What happened to into knowledge?
Knowledge? Who's that?
The other guy that was on the other gentleman that was on the call with us.
Galactic. He
into.
Said, he left. He said goodbye.
That was Oscar.
Oh.
Well, it's about 11:37 here.
11:37 here.
Yeah, you in New York, you on the East Coast then?
You're in Central.
Oh, I didn't know you were Central.
Yeah, he's Central.
And
fine.
there's my other buddy right there. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you. How about you?
Since it stopped raining, I'm doing much better. Also.
Cool. Yeah, I know. I called the crew and told them to suspend building on the Ark. The rain finally stopped here in South Carolina, so we're putting off the Ark project till next week.
Oh, what kind of art you do?
An Ark for like Noah, because of the rain. It was raining and raining and raining for like 3 days straight, and we were getting concerned. So, I live on the flatlands on the coastal plain, and when we get rain, we'll get puddles that are so big. I have waterfront property, but then they dry up in like 10 hours. So
it's like that out here. I bought a beach like in Rockaway Beach. They it rains out here. It floods up everything. Like what the hell?
Yeah, I never got a chance to participate in the show today. I called in. I kept being interrupted, so I just had this line open, and then I realized I never hung up the line even after the show ended, and then I found you two guys talking, so I thought I'd just listen in. That Muslim girl that was on about what it was like to be in Iran under the Shah of Iran and everything, did you
hear? She's a mess. She needs to come back, because there's a lot of holes in what she was saying, and Tracy and them all riled up, and I'm just like, wait a minute, hold on.
And a lot of these people get to come to this country so that they can talk bad about the country they're coming from.
Yeah,
now, let's just face it.
Yeah. Well, that's why they left. If they were happy, they'd still be there talking the party line, you know. So, I have to laugh because I'm just old enough to remember the old days of the feminist movement. If a woman walked out on stage half naked, she was not a feminist. She was allowing herself to be exploited by male chauvinist pigs. She was anti-feminism. You know, now it's a woman is called a feminist if she does her own thing, no matter how trashy it is or whatever, and no matter how pandering it is to male sexual needs and everything else, or drives or whatever predilections, but that's considered feminism now, and it's just funny how in just 40 short years the whole thing has turned around 180 degrees.
That's what I'm saying. If you look at just an example of music. You know, even though Beyonce came from that era, you know, with Brandy and Monica, Mm-hmm. To this day, Brandy and Monica, they carry themselves as women. They dress fully.
Yep.
Even if they get sexy, it's very grown and sexy, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell you, you know, I'm a mom, and mm-hmm. I have children. They always advocate that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And,
yeah.
and maybe the Beyonce has her daughter. Now she had her baby. She had a child, like, at 28. So maybe it's going to take time before Beyonce gets it through her head.
Yeah.
What she's doing, you know,
yeah.
but
yeah.
You know, Rihanna and Miley, they're young,
yeah.
you know, they're not there yet. They're at the invincible, they're at the you know, the invincible age when you're younger 20s. You don't give a hoot because you're
yeah.
living your life.
Yeah.
So,
but how old did Lil Wayne have to get before he's no longer considered Lil Wayne? So maybe that's the type of thing that's going on with Beyonce.
Yeah,
Lil Wayne is right. Him and Beyonce actually a year apart. The thing about Wayne is, you know, unfortunately these people, they play archetypes and they play these characters and they keep them up just like Coolio.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see him growing up. I see him always doing what he's doing now. And I haven't heard anything about Lil Wayne, so I couldn't tell you nothing about him.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what he's doing.
I got to tell you, one of the funniest things I heard about the whole thing about women and feminism and everything else, I was working as a corporate trainer for a company, and they launched a new makeup line. And the founder of the company, who was probably worth almost $500 million at the time, decided that if they were going to launch makeup, they should do it from Paris, because that's where all the culture is and everything. So he goes out there, and it was a big international satellite broadcast, and I'm sitting in the basement of a church down south, full of people watching the satellite broadcast, and he introduces his wife, and she comes out on stage dressed the quote-unquote sophisticated way, which means half naked, you know,
because mm-hmm.
that's what goes on in Paris, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this good old boy says, if this man's got so much money, why can't he buy his wife a whole dress?
Well, that's a good point.
I like that. I never forgot that. I go, yeah, it's all in the perspective, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so. I speak like this, too, because, as I said, I had my daughter at 23, and even in my younger 20s, like I said, I was small. Even after I had her, I went up to, like, a size, like, 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
So I could wear pretty much whatever I want, but I wasn't skanky or nothing, but
mm-hmm.
I pretty much wore whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And when I wanted to feel like a woman and feel grown, I began to wear, like, the short skirts and the
yeah.
short this and that, because I felt like that's what made me more of a woman.
Yeah.
And, of course, as I grew older, I realized that it's not about that.
Yeah.
You know, I realized that this is not what a woman is. You know, it's not how short your skirt is and how much you can walk in heels, you know, because this is a part of the journey that we all go through.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like I said, that's why I don't judge Miley Cyrus and Rihanna the way that I do, because I say, you know, hopefully they'll get it. Hopefully they'll grow up and realize, like, this is not how I have to walk around as a woman or to
yeah.
be a woman. This
yeah.
is, you know, that's just how I feel. Like, I'm not going to judge them for that.
Yeah. This international jet set crowd, I remember one time I was at a party, and this international lawyer that opened businesses for companies all over the world, he was there, and he had to be in his 50s, and he was hitting on all the 25-year-old girls at the party, you know. His poor wife, I felt sorry for her. She used to be a model, and now she was in her 40s, and of course, you know, in the world of modeling, that's over the hill. She was still a very attractive woman, but you could just see she had a few drinks, and she just wanted his attention in the worst way. She came to the party, again, wearing something small, but that wouldn't be bad enough. It was fishnet see-through, and she had no underwear on. And the poor girl. I mean,
what kind
you know,
of party was that?
Even a blind guy could tell the woman was naked under that fishnet, you know. And she was just had a few drinks, and she was just doing anything she could do to get attention. And her husband was a jerk, you know. But she had had a runway accident. She had fallen off of a runway or something and became pretty messed up, got addicted to painkillers and drugs and ended her modeling career. But she was a very attractive girl, even in her 40s, you know, and it was sad to see her do that. But again, that European jet set sophisticated, you know. And I'm sorry, that feminism is you do your own thing and you do it for your reasons not because somebody else is dictating to you that you have to be that way if you're going to, if they're going to give you permission to exist in their world, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the contradiction. It's like you are wanting this liberation.
Yeah.
But you are doing things that's grabbing men to Google over you.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the kind of stuff women were forced to do before they had the liberation. They were supposed to be.
What's the liberation in that? There's a woman, she said, hey, you know, I want to walk around with my tatas out. Because, you know, I'm a woman. I could do that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's be for real. Let's understand the nature of a man and the nature of the woman.
Sure.
You know, let's make sense with this stuff. That's what I get frustrated with. Like, let's make sense. I'm not going to walk around topless, lady. Are you kidding me?
No.
You know, it's crazy.
No matter how liberated you are, it's not what you choose to do. Yeah. Yeah, I have to laugh, too. This is terrible. This is a very controversial subject. On the subject of inappropriate, like the school teachers that have sex with their students, you know? I'm very protective of the male, very protective of the younger female students that the male teachers, you know, abuse their authority and have sex with these girls, you know? I'm not so protective of the young boys that happens to. You know, and women, like, you have a son, so you're protective of your son. But if you've got some 23, 24-year-old school teacher, and she's having a relationship with some 16 or 17-year-old student of hers, it's wrong legally, and it's wrong because she's abusing her authority. But I just don't see where that 16 or 17-year-old boy is going to be lifetime traumatized over that the way a girl would be. Girls read a lot more into the sex act than boys do. That boy has probably been lusting after that teacher in his mind since he was 14 anyway, and sitting in the front row looking at her right on the blackboard every time she turned her back to him.
Right, and I think it's the moral reason, and it's the point of you are in a profession.
Yeah.
You use your authority in that profession.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hear what you're saying about boys versus girls, and the thing falls for girls because girls have crushes on teachers. My friend is a middle school teacher, and he said that there's girls that have crushes on him. And he's like in his early, he's like 30, 31, 32.
Sure.
And he says he shuts that down.
Sure, and you got to. And
he
said
he shuts it down because he knows that. But that's him being a responsible adult
in the
situation,
right.
Understanding that no child can come on to him because he's a responsible adult.
Right.
So that's just where the morals come in with that situation.
Sure, exactly. And it's legally wrong, and it is an abuse of authority and all that. And you should have more common sense than that because you know how the kids are at that age. They get infatuated 1 minute, and a week and a half later, they're not in love with you anymore. And meanwhile, you know, but as far as the little boys go, I had to laugh because the parents of one of the kids who was like 17, a boy, were suing the teacher for million dollars for scarring him for life. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tiaki, you're with me on this. I know you are. I
had a case like this in St. Louis.
35 years old, sitting
in
a bar, drinking his brains out because he's traumatized because some hot babe teacher decided to have sex with him when he was 17.
He's not scarred for life. You know, me personally, if that's me and my husband, I'm sure we would confront that adult.
Yes, exactly.
Like, listen.
Yeah.
You know, we
had a case like that.
It's not even about the sex. It's just about the fact that it's about morals. We trusted you with our child.
Exactly. And there's where it's wrong. But boys and girls handle it differently. Girls mature faster than boys. They have to because they can become pregnant at 13 and 12. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
So they mature, and so they do tend to fall in love. Girls really do fall in love. The problem is boys their own age are just don't get it. They're boys.
Exactly.
You know, they're not there yet emotionally or anything else. And girls read a lot into sex and stuff at that age that guys just don't. But I'm laughing because in my neighborhood, if I was in high school and some hot babe teacher decided to, you know, offer me some extracurricular homework, I'm trying to be polite about it, that would give me bragging rights at cafeteria the next day. It wouldn't traumatize me, and I'd only be upset when they found out because it would end.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I don't have – I understand feelings, You know, you can have a man, 70-year-old, have feelings for a woman.
Yeah.
Well, I had a niece that married a guy. She was 20, in her 22, and she married someone who was 40 years old.
Yeah.
And it worked out very fine.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, people have feelings. And, you know, it. You know, you talk about the 16-year-old having a crush on the 23-year-old, but at some point in time, as his age go up, it's going to revert back the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be chasing women 10 years older than him. He's going to go back the other direction, and that's just the way things happen.
Yeah.
I think that people need to be treated nice, respected. And, you know, older guys, my wife is real young, and the things that you were able to do for them once you were well-established and you have the mental capacity, you know, it can be very rewarding sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remarried because I had a lot of spousal benefits. I said, it'd be crazy for me to die, and these spousal benefits go to waste.
Exactly, and you've set somebody up for life that'll outlive you most likely, and you've done a good thing, yeah. And, you know, it's even like Groucho Marx in his 90s. There was that young girl that had been with him for a number of years. I think she was like 24 when he died. And the whole family came out of the woodwork, his sons, his daughters, his grandchildren, everything. You know, oh, she's a gold digger. She's this, she's there, not, you know, she's this, she's that. And excuse me, Groucho Marx was a worldly man. He knew the deal going in. And the other thing, too, is that girl, that 22-year-old girl, gave him something his own family didn't give him. She was there every day for him. She made him sandwiches. She sat on the bench with him in the garden and listened to his old stories about the old days of him and Chico and Zeppo in the movies and everything. His own darn kids wouldn't come to visit him. And when he died,
the other guys,
they were all there for the will. You know?
Well, the other entertainer that smoked the cigar.
George Burns.
Yeah. And he died short of 100, didn't he?
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, actually, I think he made it to 100. He made it to 100. Died shortly afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, him, Bob Hope, Hubie Blake, the piano player, and there's a bunch of them. They all made it to 100 and then died a few months later.
You know, I'm all for love, relationships, and stuff, but I just think when you're in a certain profession, there was a responsibility that you have. And I say this because I work around children, you know, up to eighth grade. And you're an adult. You know that. You know. You can tell who has a crush on you. You can tell.
Yeah.
And as soon as you cross that line, you are responsible because you are the adult. And that's just all I have to say to it.
No,
like,
no, I agree. And I agree with you, Amente, totally on that. But I do think that boys and girls handle young boys and girls. I'm talking about the quote-unquote victims. Girls are far more traumatized by that than boys would be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because I would respond differently if it was my daughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually the response would be a little bit more physical with my daughter.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, then I would have to have a deep conversation with her if she still has feelings for that teacher.
Yeah.
You know, it will be so much more that has to be corrected, you know. It like, look, you know, look what you put yourself into. And then I have to get on that man, like, look what you've done to my child.
And he should know better. And those type of situation can never go no place.
No.
They never go anywhere.
You're not going to marry the girl, you know. You're not going to, you know, so no matter how much she loves you or has a crush on you, and you cannot put yourself in a situation ever. Billy Graham gave me the best piece of advice when I was out doing corporate training and stuff. And it was for a company that had a lot of women that were in the sales force. And a lot of those women were trying to make some extra money and stuff because they were in bad situations at home or they weren't getting support from their husband for their contributions to the family's finances. And a lot of them wanted to meet with me all the time to get, you know, private counseling and stuff. And Billy Graham taught me a trick that I thought was brilliant. He had a great big huge office. And he could talk to you confidentially, Amente, at his desk, but that desk was in the middle of the office, and at the perimeter, just out of earshot, he had other people working. He was never alone with these women, ever alone, because he said to me, it's not good enough that you don't do anything inappropriate. You can't even give the appearance that you've done something inappropriate, you know? And that was really good because some of the women sometimes would follow me back to the hotel room. And, of course, being blind, I can't dodge them. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm relying upon somebody who's guiding me who, if they're not aware of what the situation is, you know, you got these basically like groupies following you back. and some of them come into the room and everything else, and that's when I used to just leave the door open and just pull up a chair, and I would just sit in a chair so that anybody walking through the hallway could look straight in the door, and I'm sitting straight down, you know, 15 feet in the room in a chair, because some of these women would just, you know, want to tell you their whole life story and everything else, and they'd lie on the bed and everything else, and no, I ain't closing that door to that room so that it doesn't even look inappropriate, you know. Even if nothing's going on, that's just not a good enough standard. You got to go one step further. And so these teachers who realize these little girls got a crush on them, don't you ever ask that kid to stay after class alone with you.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure one of her friends or somebody else is there. You ask two, you know, get two people to stand there and stay there with you. And then whatever you got to say to her, you say to her, and she gets out of the room, and then you go talk to the second one and maybe make the second one a boy. And even if you tell them, well, what I was going to tell you, I thought it over, don't need to talk to you about it, now you can go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But never, ever, ever put yourself alone in a situation, because girls get doe-eyed and dreamy over guys you and I wouldn't give a second look to. You know
right.
What I mean? You know, they would. There's no figuring out the little female heart when she gets a crush on you. You know,
right.
They're practicing. They're discovering themselves as a woman, and they're practicing, and
but you're in a position of teaching and authority.
Yeah,
and
you
it
don't
looks
violate
like that
trust. You
and
don't violate.
You know, so there's something else going on there too with these children who,
yeah,
with the situation. Like,
yeah,
my daughter, for ironically, she's always around a lot of women,
mm-hmm,
but her classroom are full of boys. It's the strangest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she's full, and so you know. But I'm always active and paying attention. I'm very intuitive, you know.
Yeah.
And watching and paying attention,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I think also that plays a part too as a parent. You know, if you just active and you're just there and you show face, I just feel like you're not going to really attract that type of stuff with your children. That's just how I feel.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, I agree totally on that. There is a difference between raising boys and raising girls. There is a big difference.
Oh, trust me, I'm going to have two boys and I got one girl.
Well,
I'm getting the whip.
Now, is your youngest the
wheel.
Girl, or is your youngest one of the boys?
The boy is very much different than his sister.
Okay.
My way of the disciplining is much more aggressive. I'm glad that daddy is here,
mm-hmm,
because it's really like, oh, my gosh, is this what it is to have a boy? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I'm having another one. So this is why I speak the way that I do.
See, my dad ran off when we were younger. When I was like 11, he was gone, and he was an alcoholic, and he left us. And my mother raised us, my brother and I, alone. And my mother always told all the other women in the neighborhood, raising sons is a lot easier than raising daughters. You know, she
well,
said
it's
for no other reason they ain't
going
to come home pregnant.
No, it's not even. It's just that it's so much that you have to pay attention to with yourself as
mm-hmm
as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much responsibility as a woman you have to take. And
and
it's a fear because you have to really sit down and talk and teach that little girl.
Yeah.
You really have to have a conversation with her. And it's deep. And a lot of people can't handle that. Some women just can't handle having to have that big of a responsibility with a daughter. And and my daughter's only 6.
Yeah.
And she's so smart. And I know that she's going to be the child that I'm going to have those early conversations with her.
Yeah.
Me and her father, because she's so smart and just what times are now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had 2 stepdaughters, and when they were about that age, I was the one who ended up having the conversation with them, and it was short and sweet. And I just told them, honeys, just don't ever forget one thing. All men are pigs. And they said, well, you know, you're not. And I said, no. All men are pigs. It's just that some of us go about it a little classier than others, but all of us are pigs. Keep that in mind.